about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hey, you know, I probably shouldn't have mentioned on the phone that I'm not a little boy.
Oh, no, no, no.
I'm 25.
The age is not a concern of mine. Now, have a seat on that tiny little chair and let's begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Ah! 94.3, it's KMGX Magic FM, the station that's growing faster than ever, and that, of course, is thanks to you and your friends.
Shut up, Lisa!
Lots of stuff planned for you today, along with all your favorites. We're going to be doing lunchtime at the Oldies, so whatever you do, keep it right here at Magic FM.
Girl, you make me want to get you pregnant, knock you up.
Hi, Callie.
I mean, if they start smelling money in the water, they're going to start coming out of the woodwork.
Man, why don't I say it f***ing right?
And now...
My dad says the greatest singer who ever lived is Peebo Bryson.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, everybody. What's happening?
Hey, Kevin.
How close was that? How close did you cut that one today?
Well, as soon as I said, hey, everybody, this is when I was here.
It's when you were putting the headphones on.
Yeah.
Hadn't actually potted me up yet.
No.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
It's a little close.
Hey, party people. What's going on? It is, what is it, Thursday already? Wow.
Yes.
This week is kind of flying by, for me anyway. How about for you guys?
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
One.
Here's what I find weird, though, is that you like to give the date and you like to say the day.
Right.
But almost every morning you're not sure.
Well, I don't think about it ahead of time. That's
it's,
why.
It's, I guess, Thursday?
Because it's the first time that that I've thought about it all day long. So it's not like I go in ready with a script. I just, I have to think of what date it is.
You need a script to know what date it is. I'm just saying, you know, you say the day and date, right? That's how you start.
Right.
So how can you not at least
glow? I'm not prepared.
Okay.
Hey, I love this guy that I need to tell you about. His name is Steve McCormick. Now, when I first saw the headline of this story, I thought this was another guy who fell on a vacuum cleaner hose. You know, we hear those stories all the time about the guys who end up at the emergency room, and they generally have something in their ass. And generally, the story is, no, I slipped and fell.
It was an accident because...
Exactly.
Because you're too embarrassed to say, here's what I was doing.
Right. There's no way I was trying to, you know, hide a shampoo bottle. I just slipped in the shower, and the next thing I knew, the shampoo bottle was right up in there.
What am I supposed to do then?
It's not my fault. Well, this one's in Wellington, New Zealand. Guy's a truck driver. He blew up like a balloon when he fell onto the fitting of a compressed air hose. Now,
what?
A compressed air hose that is now putting air into your body, making you blow up like a balloon. Can you even picture that?
Well, no. Is it a tight? I don't know how to ask this. Is it a tight seal? I mean, how does it not leak at the same time?
More or less.
Well, what happened with this guy is that he was standing at the truck's foot plate on Saturday when he slipped and fell and broke a compressed air hose off of an air reservoir that powered the truck's brakes. Now, it didn't go where you think it went.
Oh.
It went through his buttocks.
Oh.
So it wasn't like he, you know, was intentionally aiming or anything like that. It actually pierced his skin and went into his butt. Now he's stuck. He falls down on the ground. He's got this air hose that's pierced his skin that is now pumping a tremendous volume of air into his body.
Wow. That's the strangest story I've ever heard.
I felt the air rush into my body. I felt like it was going to explode from my feet, he told media from his hospital bed in the town of Whakatane on North Island's East Coast. I was blowing up like a football. And this is the part I don't get, unless he was in some sort of pain or hurt otherwise and couldn't try to move. I had no choice but to just lay there blowing up like a balloon. Now, I would think that you would try to get away from that, but maybe it was just, you know, jammed in there and stuck and you couldn't pull away from it. Maybe
it's
you had
painful.
No choice.
I don't know.
Literally,
that's weird.
His workmates heard his screams, ran to him, quickly releasing a safety valve to stop the airflow, says the co-owner of the trucking company. He was rushed to the hospital with terrible swelling and fluid in one lung. Doctors said the air had separated fat from muscle in McCormick's body, but had not entered his bloodstream.
Which is why he didn't die?
I guess so,
I imagine.
Yeah. I mean, imagine enough air going in to separate your fat from your muscle. 48-year-old man said his skin felt like a pork roast, crackling on the outside but soft underneath.
Imagine being the other guy who comes up and he's like, well, I got a hose in my butt. And then you go, what are you talking about? And then you look over and it's not where you think it would be. And you just go, how did this How did this happen?
Oh, my.
Even though I was inclined to think that this was a guy trying to get some sexy time on with a piece of machinery, having read this entire article now, it sounds to me like a legitimate accident. I mean, because you wouldn't pierce your own butt with a hose. And then the fact that it was at work and coworkers were nearby, it sounds to me like it was just an industrial accident. Well, but scary stuff, right?
That's bad luck right there.
Yeah,
this one time I was in a parking lot and a hose went in my butt, but not where you think. And then I started blowing up like a balloon. I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of that either. I guess it makes sense, though. If you start pumping air into somebody's body, that's exactly what's going to happen. But I've just, it's new to me as well. But
wow.
Don't be that guy.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever happens to you today, just think about that guy and go, I'm not him.
That's right.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
So, you can do that, or you can not do that.
Mm, yeah, we do have those options. Comedian Doug Stanhope will be in the studio today.
Mm-hmm.
Love him. We have Travis Pastrana on the program.
Wow.
Talking about a live Nitro Circus. I don't know if you watch that Nitro Circus, but it is just, they're just going to go till someone dies.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, is how do they keep putting these on? Don't they lose somebody with every show?
Well, they get injured or whatever. I think they have to take a really long off season. It's been a while, I think, since it's been on. And they would have to because, you know, they got to have surgeries and fix everything that's broken. But the things they do is just stupid. And they're brilliant at it, so that's why they don't die. If I tried them, I would die.
Yeah.
But Nitro Circus is coming to the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. They're going to actually do a show, which is different. They normally just go wherever they want to go. So that's pretty cool. This weekend is a big UFC fight. It's UFC 130. We have Quentin Rampage Jackson on the program today.
He's fighting Mark Hamill from Star Wars?
Yeah, that's what we heard yesterday,
do I understand
right?
that correctly? He's fighting Luke Skywalker?
I believe it's Matt. I'm not sure.
Oh, Matt Hamill. I
wish I knew. We also are going to give away a pair of tickets to that show, by the way.
Oh.
To UFC. Oh. I say show, but to the UFC in Las Vegas. So
dude.
Check that out.
That's how you want to spend your Memorial Day weekend.
We're going to talk about extreme lies. Lies that you told to get out of something. And maybe it's you were driving a truck and you fell on a hose.
Maybe you had to come up with a story.
Maybe that's your lie. And it's a pretty good one and people seem to be buying it, which is odd. So we got that coming up. We have, I don't know if you've seen Ray Lewis, who is a linebacker for the...
Is he still with the Ravens?
Ravens, I want to say yes.
Is that right, Muggs? Is he still a Raven?
I believe so, yeah.
That's where I know he got famous as a Raven. I think he still is.
He's saying if there's a lockout that crime's going to go up and there's all kinds of problems, so...
Oh, wait. I had no idea.
Oh, wait till you hear what he has to say.
Wow.
He's crazy, by the way.
Hey, he might be crazy, but a lot of people are going to have a lot of time on their hands come fall if there's no NFL.
And crime is the only answer. You know what I'm saying?
Well, if you're a Ravens fan, maybe it is.
Well, maybe. That's true. Maybe it's people who watch Ray Lewis, maybe that's true. Dude killed the guy just to watch him die. We also have tickets for the Weenie Roast we're going to give away, and we're going to talk to Dr. Drew.
Oh,
about his HLN show. He did a feature a couple of nights ago on a wet rehab. And basically what it is, if you're addicted to alcohol, you go to this place and they give you alcohol.
Well, that's the best rehab ever.
Yeah,
right.
Why wouldn't everyone do that?
Well, they don't help you, really. I mean, they don't take the alcohol away.
Because this has been for years, this has been Ralph's complaint about rehab, is that you can't get a decent drink in the place.
Right, exactly. So,
now it sounds like it's, to me, I think this is a good move.
And you know what?
Because I think it's more welcoming to more people, I think,
sure.
If you offer that kind of rehab.
Yeah, you don't have all the problems, all the personality problems of people coming off alcohol. So you
right,
got that
that's
for you.
True. Withdrawal.
Stay away from that withdrawal. So, exactly.
At one point,
I like it.
At one point, the guy says, yeah, people die, but... And then I just thought, but it really doesn't matter what follows that sentence. So anyway, Dr. Drew's asking him if that's really any help. Did they ever get help with their alcoholism? No, just a safe place to drink. Really, that's it.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's one of the strangest. A really good bar?
I guess. with beds, so you can actually sleep.
Okay.
So we'll talk to him about that coming up as well. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and it is 5:52.
Got some Bad Religion on the way, also Nirvana, Black Keys, and a brand new red hot song from Gary Jules. You guys won't believe this cover that he does of the
right.
Tears for Fears song. I mean, it just came out like 4 days ago, and we're all over it, and you're going to love it, and it's great, and it's coming up. Oh, wait, it's back from the dead. What happened? Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey!
What you talking about?
Nothing but showbiz.
What's happening in your world?
It's not my world I'm concerned about. It's the world of former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
More?
Hits keep on coming for Arnie. Apparently, another woman has stepped forward and said, oh, I slept with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Sure.
All right, and so it begins.
Yeah, for a long, long time. Sure, we had an affair for about a decade.
Oh, wow. This is a roll call.
Her name is Gigi Goyette.
She sounds hot.
She's not.
Okay.
She's okay. She's better than Patty. Patty the housekeeper, that's for sure. Gigi was a child star who appeared, had a recurring role on Little House on the Prairie.
Okay.
She tells Extra that she, too, had an affair with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm very sorry for the mistakes I made in the past and for being intimate with your husband, and I hope that you would forgive me, she said to Extra, hoping to get the message to Maria Shriver.
Why would
she come... Who knew nothing about it until she opened her mouth.
Why would she come forward? Just to get money?
No, she's not. I mean, she's doing publicity, really? But she's not getting any money.
Well, why are you doing publicity then? I mean, what's...
I think it's more look at me than it is I need money. She's a former child actress who hasn't had much of a career since, so look.
She wants to be known for
I'm
something.
I'm sure she wants to get her face on television,
yeah.
And it's out there. She said apparently they had an affair for a decade, from 89 to 99. And one time, the sex got so wild, she wound up in the hospital.
What?
Arnie wrecked her.
What's happening?
As if that wasn't bad enough, the California Attorney General's office is reportedly investigating the former governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, for his alleged use of state-funded security details to escort women to his hotel rooms.
Wow, this is Bill Clinton all over again.
One witness reports the head of security at the Sacramento Hilton said he frequently saw California Highway Patrol officers escorting scantily clad women in and out of Schwarzenegger's suite at that hotel.
Hey, he had meetings. State business.
Their constituents.
Meetings with whores. So we'll see if that investigation leads perhaps to some criminal charges.
Wow.
Criminal bonage.
You guys remember when the Tiger Woods story broke a couple of Thanksgivings ago and we found out it was over a fight over a text with some girl that he was fooling around with and we thought, oh, that's terrible. I can't believe it. And then a few days later, there was another one, which is exactly where we are in the Schwarzenegger story. And then the floodgates just opened, remember? And then there were 5 and then there were 10 and then there were 14 or whatever it ended up being.
Yep.
I wonder how many there are that are out there that are just waiting to come forward that we haven't even heard about yet.
Why do they have to come forward? Why can't they just be good little whores and shut up?
Well, I don't think they were hired as whores, necessarily.
I'm not saying whores in the truest prostitution sense.
Just have your sex and don't tell.
Just be nice little sluts and have your sex and just keep your mouth shut.
Look how discreet Lisa is.
That's right.
You almost never hear her names, and I appreciate it very much, Lisa.
Dude, she has boned in the past couple of years.
I'm very, very good about that.
You appreciate it, do you, Lisa?
B? I appreciate it a great deal,
you're
Lisa.
Happy.
Thank you.
Well,
let me know if there's anything I can get
one
for you.
One person she would never be with on this planet, safe to assume, it'd be DJ Spina Bifida.
And by the way, DJ Chip is eyeing me how grateful she is for your discretion as well.
Wow.
What?
That's something.
Bradley Cooper's doing all right for himself. He's got Hangover Part 2 coming out this weekend. Which will
today,
be
by the way.
Yeah, I think tonight. Well, midnight, right?
No, today.
Oh, today,
night
day?
At midnight. Yeah.
Last night at midnight, right?
I can't get enough. It'll be the biggest movie in the world this weekend. But apparently he also has a new girlfriend. He was dating Renee Zellweger.
Yeah.
New York Post is reporting that he was seen at the premiere party of his own movie, hanging out and getting very cozy with Olivia Wilde.
Oh.
All right.
That's a good choice right there. She does good work.
She does good work.
From what I understand, he's a good choice, too. The ladies seem to love him. Good-looking guy. Apparently very nice guy.
He seems like a very nice guy. Yeah. David Hasselhoff has magic healing powers.
Of course.
Hasselhoff says he was gifted with mystical healing powers.
But he's not serious.
Yes, he is, Kevin. Why
I
don't
love
you
him
just
so
pipe
much.
Down and listen to the magic?
I love him so much.
He recorded a message to a boy in a coma who was a fan of his. And they played it back for that boy, and the boy immediately woke up out of the coma.
Yay!
David adds, those types of situations have happened 1,000 times all around the world.
1,000!
His voice has mystical healing powers. I will not have you laugh at the Hop and his magical powers.
I love him so
much. You don't know anything, and he is magical.
Why aren't we using this resource? Why don't they have him go visit Brian Stowe, the Giants fan who got beat up at Dodger Stadium? Bring him out of his coma.
Because people like Kevin, who laugh at him and scoff, ruin the energy.
I love him.
They destroy the magic that he puts out in the world. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And Kevin's the anti-Hoff.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
That's right, and loves to heal.
It's good news.
And last night, 100.
Why can't Kevin just be happy? Why can't he just be happy with good things happening
that,
in the world?
No story made me happier than that one.
Kevin can't be happy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Over 122 million votes were cast for American Idol this week, and last night they anointed 17-year-old North Carolinian Scott McCreery as your American Idol.
Is he a good choice? Is he going to move on?
He's country, Kevin. Ew. Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
very talented.
But an ass.
But very talented.
But not, because he sings country.
Not an ass at all. In a fake, low
voice.
That's his voice, Ralph.
How did he win? Because don't they have to do a bunch of different styles?
He did country and western. He did both of those styles, yeah, all season long. He was the least talented of the final 10. But here's the thing. Middle of America just sits in their trailer and just dials their phones for this show. That's all they do.
And they'll buy the records from him, too?
Oh, of course, yeah. He would have been a country star regardless of where he placed in this competition, because anyone can be a star in country music. And this guy absolutely will be.
I think you should test that. I really do.
I'm telling you, I could absolutely get a chart a song in country
music.
Throw
your hat in the ring. Get
it's
a,
so easy
get
to
a
do.
Song in there.
The other side of the opinion coin, by the way, is that he was an incredibly consistent singer, never made a bad song choice, and had an unbelievable amount of poise.
Sorry, I can't hear you. Can't hear you. Sorry, the reggaeton horn's going nuts over here.
Why?
I wonder why. And I don't know if you missed the finale of Oprah yesterday. I know Kevin didn't.
I'm still here.
I know. It's remarkable.
Hey, that's right. What happened?
I don't know. Maybe she gave the signal and it's going to happen October 21st.
In case you missed it, Oprah's last words were, "I won't say goodbye. I'll just say, until we meet again. To God be the glory." Yes, yes, Oprah. That's what God was busy doing, making sure you were on television for 25 years. That's why they've got those tornadoes in the middle of the country, because he's so preoccupied at keeping you on the air for 25 years. F you, you arrogant bitch. Oh, God damn it. I hate those people. And Scotty McCreery on American Idol last night. First thing I'll do, you give it up to God, because God made this. Yeah, God cares who wins American Idol. Go kill yourself. Unbelievable.
Oprah, Noprah.
Real problems in the world, and people think God cares about Oprah and American Idol. Come on now.
God liked
the If that's what God cares about, he is a bad God. Bad God. Bad. Bad God. Sit.
I don't think he cares. I don't think he's watching American Idol going, come on.
I certainly hope not.
Get the phone.
Because Pia wouldn't have been eliminated, right, Ralph?
One of his finest creatures would not have been eliminated so early on. Today's celebrity birthdays, Philip Michael Thomas. That's right. I said it.
Wow.
From Miami Vice. He's 62 years old today. Actress Pam Grier, also 62. Bobcat Goldthwaite.
Yeah.
Our buddy the Bobcat is 49 years old. Lenny Kravitz is 47. Helena Bonham Carter, often seen in many of Tim Burton's films, turns 45 years old today. Joseph Fiennes, Ralph Fiennes' brother from Shakespeare in Love, and also was in the short-lived ABC series Bangtown.
Bangtown.
Flash forward.
Bangtown's a good one, though.
41 years old. And Matt Stone, co-creator of South Park, celebrates his 40th birthday today. Remember when they used to come on the show, Matt and Trey?
I do.
It was a while back.
It was good times.
Good times.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our guest on the Kevin and Bean Show is Mike Catherwood, the host of the very popular Loveline radio show all across this great land of ours.
You can't start
the
applause yourself.
That was Lisa.
Can't start applauding for yourself.
All right, that's good. Great job,
and
everybody.
Ever since Mike got booted off of Dancing with the Stars, his life is really just showing up and judging chili cook-offs now. I mean, that's pretty much what Mike does with his time now is, you got some sort of high school talent show you need a celebrity judge for? Sure, I'll do that.
It's true.
You did the Red Bull Soapbox Derby. You were a judge on that.
Awesome.
You were
time
involved in some sort of not football event with some former players. What was that about?
It was flag football, but with all like the top rookies and NFL legends in it, you know. And they asked me to do it, you know.
Is it charity? Is it a charity?
Yeah, it was totally for charity. And then
So yeah. Who were there? Who were the big names that were there?
Warren Moon, Steve Bono, wow. Terrell Davis, TD was there. Recently active player, Ryan Neese, guys like that. It was really unbelievable. And then all of the top rookie, literally all of the top draft picks and rookies for this upcoming season of the NFL, if there is one. And
so that game might be the only game that's played this year.
Right. And it's so funny. It's funny you should say that because one of the coaches was Maurice Jones-Drew, former UCLA star, an excellent tailback in his own right.
Sure.
And he comes into the locker room to change from his street clothes. Into his,
I can guess where the story's going.
This one doesn't have anything to do with Kevin.
All right,
and he takes off his shirt to put on like the celebrity shirt that they give, or the charity shirt. And one of the pro players says, "Look at that there, that's a lockout body."
Very nice.
His big pot belly. So they asked me to play, and I'm like, "Of course, I would." I mean, just the chance to be on the field with those guys, let alone run a couple patterns or whatnot.
Sure.
You get in the locker room, right? And you're like, "Hey, I take good care of myself. I'm not a bad-looking guy. You know, I got some Swole Patrol going on." Then these guys start taking their shirts off. You're like, "Oh my god."
They are 10 times as big as they look, right?
Chocolatey Adonis. It's one thing to be super swole and be my size, you know? It's like, "Oh, look, that guy eats egg whites and does his workout."
In
it's
the
another
NFL,
thing
you're a midget,
to be 6'5" and like got some guns on you. It's a whole nother thing to be 6'5", have guns, and be shredded to the bone and like 2% body fat. Yeah. That's what these guys are. And you say, "Well, how is that even possible?"
Yeah.
Then they take the pants off, Kevin.
Yeah.
And that's when the magic begins.
And I know that's where you look.
Oh, goodness.
Immediately, and you can't look away.
Oh, yeah. It's why would I?
Because it's a little weird.
No, it isn't.
Does everyone here have an issue with their penis size?
I do. You guys know that going in. Like,
right, but.
And to see,
but you're the guy that's now you're over in the corner creeping. You're just kind of standing. Everybody's like, "Hey, what's with that guy? He's never seen guys dress."
Well, the guy with a camera phone.
I feel like I could break the ice by just referencing it. Like, instead of just like being awkward sausage gazer,
just go ahead and speak it.
Whoa!
Wait, so you literally said that?
Yeah.
Whoa!
Yeah, whoa!
Who were you looking at the time?
I felt like Wayne and Garth. Here's the thing about giant penis guy. Giant penis guy has a different level of confidence when he is naked, Lisa May, unlike me,
sure.
Who, like, you know, like we've talked about, I have sex like Tony Soprano with my shirt on, and I do anything I possibly can to just make sure I have my underwear on at all times.
So when you're dressing, you're turned with your back to the group.
And then I was like, "Okay, guys, I'm going to go to the showers real quick, go get my jock strap on." These guys are walking around having conversations, you know, like,
just
I was thinking about getting signed with the Vikings, but, you know, I was talking with my agent and stuff, and dong just flapping around.
I'm sorry, did I just hit you with that?
Yeah, and it's amazing, right?
I apologize.
And I would also bet, by the way, that these guys are comfortable with their bodies and probably don't ever reference it. It's probably the unspoken thing in the room, is they're not talking about or looking at, obviously, penises. And then Mike comes in, and that's all he cares about is, "Oh, my God, look at that."
It's true. It's like, I was mildly impressed by the Super Bowl rings that I saw on people's hands there.
You should have
been. But I was very impressed by the dong meat. And then Bean's exactly right. Like, for a guy like me, and even the guys who were not football players that were asked to play, Donald Faison was there, and people are just getting dressed like normal people, you know, in the corner.
Right.
But it was amazing. So then you get out there to play, and then the things that these guys can do at age 60, even some of these guys that have been retired for 20 seasons, they're specimens. That's what separates normal dudes from these guys. And all of a sudden, the big surprise is that one of the referees is going to be number one overall draft pick, Cam Newton.
Okay? He comes out?
Comes out of nowhere.
He's the ref?
Yes.
Okay.
And no one's ever been bigger, more scary looking. And it's like, he's like 20, you know? So you forget that because he's so huge and muscular.
Right.
So we start playing. Like, two plays in, he calls pass interference on me.
Right.
Which is effing ridiculous. For one reason, it wasn't even close to passing interference. Secondly, I'm guarding a guy who's 6'5", 240 pounds, and runs a 4.240.
You're at his knees.
Yeah.
Batting
his
knees.
How am I at all interfering with him catching the ball?
You're the guy Cam doesn't know, so he throws the flag.
Yeah. Throws a flag, crowd laughing and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Hey, that's BS."
Yes.
And I don't say BS.
Getting serious at a fun game. I love it.
And he's like, looks down at me, by the way. And, you know, remember, he's a boy. He's 20 years old. He's like, "Don't talk to me like that." I'm like, "What? Don't talk." What? I was like, that was clearly not pass interference. What's going on? "Don't beg. Don't you beg for calls."
Don't beg for calls.
So then he pulls this. Listen to this. 20-year-old Cam Newton. I think he's like 20. He says to me, "Don't beg for calls. Watch it now. Watch it now." And I was like, "That's complete and utter BS." But again, I don't use BS.
Right.
"You watch your lip."
Watch your lip.
Oh, my God.
And I was like,
sweet.
He's watch my lip, Grandpa.
What is he, is he Mr. T?
Are you going to send me to my room? Watch your lip.
Your lip. He was going to beat the hell out of you is what was going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty sweet, though, to be told by Cam Newton to watch your lip.
Later on this year, when he's balling it up, he's one of the biggest stars in the NFL, I'm going to say, that guy told me to watch my lip.
Loveline, lover boy, Mike Catherwood.
All right, we're out of time. If you go to KevinAmin.com, you can see Mike's appearance from Dancing with the Stars. We have put that up at the website as well. And good times. Great catch up with you, Mike. Thanks for coming.
I love you all.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By now, you know, 1 week from Saturday is the good old Weenie Roast. Bad Religion, one of the bands we are most excited about seeing. You know, no matter how many times we've seen Bad Religion, they always bring it. They're and there's nothing better than a sunny day in June, and they're out there just rocking, and everybody's just into it. I mean, they're just great. And we're looking for Bad Religion fans right now. If you'd like to join us that day at 1-800-520-1067. What's this game called today, Kevin?
I believe it's The Hardest Game in the World, Part 2. I don't know. Mr. Announcer Man, what's the full title?
Play the intro! It's the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. If you thought words were hard, wait till you try music. This time, it's personal.
All right.
Hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo.
Now, if I recall correctly, the hardest game in the world, that's where we take the names of bands or the names of songs and we say them backwards, and then the people just have to tell us what they are forward. So you're telling me we're not doing that with songs this time. We're actually doing that with Bad Religion songs?
Yes!
Okay. So if you're a Bad Religion fan, let's see how good you are at identifying your favorite songs from the group backwards. Let's give this a try. And, of course, if you get it right, you go in the drawing, and then Lisa tells you who wins the tickets and backstage passes. Who's our first contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Tim. He works at a utility company. Ooh, I hope it's electric.
Hey, Tim.
Morning.
How are you? You ready for the hardest game in the world, part two?
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
All that other stuff? All right, so it's not a person saying it. It's the actual band singing a song. You just have to tell us what Bad Religion song this is. We can play it for you twice. Here it is one more time.
That's a hit!
I'm going to take a stab in the dark. I'm going to guess Sorrow.
Sorry. Because I'm a 21st century digital. Yeah, sorry about that.
Interesting. You can sure tell it's Bad Religion when you're listening to it backwards, but it is kind of tough to tell which song. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Francisco. He's enrolled at a trade school. Good luck.
Hey, Francisco.
Hey, what's up, man?
Here's your Bad Religion song backwards. You just have to tell us the title. One more time. I love Satan. What?
I love when we... When we go, what is going
Stop
on
that.
There? I love when we go to the contestants after we play it the first time and there's nothing. They're just in shock as they sit there trying to figure out what they're going to guess. All right, what do you think there, Francisco?
Oh, man, you guys stunned me, man. I really don't know what's going on there.
Bad Religion
song.
You want
to take a guess?
It is a Bad Religion song, so if you were to guess one of those, it might be right.
And you called when we said, hey, we're looking for Bad Religion fans, so.
You know Bad Religion?
Yeah, I really can't make out what that is. Man.
Could you name any Bad Religion song
at
all?
Stop asking him that. I think the answer is no. That's it. He probably didn't recognize it forwards.
All right. Not looking so good so far, Mr. Nassimil. But then again, we never claimed this game was easy, right?
It's the hardest game in the world, too. The revenge of the game, Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. Next up is Patrick. He supervises stuff.
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how you doing?
Did you get either of the first two?
I think I got the first one.
You think you did.
All right.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Good luck. One more time.
Wow.
I agree with Mr. Announcerman. That sounds like a hit to me.
Yeah, not so much.
Hmm.
No guess?
So Bad Religion song. Here's what's shocking to us is that you know it's Bad Religion, so
just
say
name a hit.
Guess one pick a song,
songs.
Right?
Say
exactly.
A song. There will be fun. So there's that. All right.
That one was Sarah. All right, are we getting into sudden death here? Do we have time for a couple more? What do you think?
I know
Mr.
I'm
Houseman?
Dying here.
All right, let's see who's next. Maybe this will be a winner.
Next up is Leo. He works at the Home Depot.
Look, I can understand not getting it because it's difficult. It's actually hard. But
it's the hardest game in the world,
but
too.
It is a Bad Religion song, so we're giving you that. So just take a stab at a song title that they do. All right. Let's go to Leo. Hi, Leo.
Hey.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. One more time.
If you don't at least come up with a song, seriously, we're coming to your house and we're hitting you.
The hills of Los Angeles are burning.
That's not correct, but you did come up with a Bad Religion song, so congratulations.
Welcome to the new dark ages.
All right, I would say we are in sudden death.
Sudden death, Mr. Announce Man. Pick us a winner.
Coming up next is Saul. He goes to Mission Viejo High. Go Ringworms.
Is it the Ringworms, Saul? Is that your team?
No, it's the Diablos.
The Diablos. Diablos. Yeah. You were close, Mr. Dathomir.
Damn.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. One more time.
I'm going to go with Cyanide.
When the hills of Los Angeles.
Yeah, these are all their biggest songs so far. That was my fault, sorry.
Sudden death. Double death
now,
here, Mr. Announcer Man.
How's that any different than sudden death?
If you guess correctly, you actually die.
All right, who do we have?
Next is Chris. He's in construction. Don't fall in an air hose.
Chris. Chris, please get this right. Are you ready?
Yes.
Here you go.
Now, before we hear it again, I want to remind you, it's not 21st Century Digital Boy, Infected Sorrow, New Dark Ages, or Los
he
Angeles
already
is Burning.
He said it!
I can't believe it!
He said it!
And I guess it struck on nerve.
Struck on nerve!
Well done. You've got Weenie Roast tickets to see Bad Religion and all the acts a week from Saturday, and we're giving you backstage passes as well. Thank you for playing, and thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you!
That was the hardest game in the world, too. The Revenge of the Game Die Harder Electric Boogaloo. Coming next summer, the hardest game in the world, 3D.
Mad World, you'd think Mad World, maybe there'd be a little anger in there, but that's the softest song I've ever heard in my entire
that's
life.
True.
It's the world famous K-Rock at 6:37. The manliest hour in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show coming up. Travis Pastrana and Quentin Rampage Jackson in the same hour. And we're going to give you tickets to Las Vegas' UFC 130 this weekend. All of that coming up. Speaking of manly, NFL back in the news, Kevin. You know, this work stoppage that's going on right now is the longest in the history of the league. And I think we're in day like 73, 74 or something like that. And I haven't heard too much about the negotiations. Have you
haven't
heard?
Either,
are they working on this? I mean, are they close to getting this thing hammered out or what?
I don't know. It seems like there's a new announcement every day that doesn't say anything. You know, we have an announcement to make. We have no progress and nothing to say.
Well, players have a lot of time on their hands, and some have been giving interviews, including Ray Lewis, who's considered to be one of the greatest linebackers of all time, 12-time Pro Bowler with the Baltimore Ravens. He sat down with ESPN the other day, and he talked about, and this is the first guy I've heard say this, perhaps some very dire consequences if this season's NFL does not happen.
This dude crazy, by the way. He crazy. Listen to this, and his eyes are all bugging out, and he's looking at the announcer.
What we're going through right now, we're affecting way more than us.
How so?
It's too many people live through us. People live through us.
Fans.
Yes. Do this research. If we don't have a season, watch how much evil, which we call it crime, watch how much crime picks up if you take away our game.
What do you think that would happen?
There's nothing else to do, Sal.
There's nothing else to do.
Seems like there's a lot of other stuff to do. But, I mean, isn't this a way of him saying our fans are thugs, and if they don't have something to look at for 3 hours on Sunday, they're going to go out and steal? I mean, is that what he's saying?
I wouldn't say that as he's on the phone. I mean,
Ray Lewis is on the phone right now?
I would say he's probably trying to help the problem, how I would put it.
Ray Lewis, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin Bean. How are you?
We're good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
We're a little scared.
We should be scared.
Mm-hmm.
Because if there's no football this season,
right,
there will be evil
right
in uh-huh the world. And we don't need more evil in the world.
That's
well,
true.
I agree. But won't there just be no football? Won't
no
people?
Oh. Do the research. Uh-huh. Walk with the people the way I walk with the people.
Okay.
And you will see there will be evil roaming the earth if there's uh-huh no football this season.
Okay, but if there is football, there will be no evil.
There'll be less evil.
Less.
There'll be some evil, little evil.
Okay.
But not as much evil. There'll okay be much more evil if there's no football.
Okay.
So what kinds of things are you fearful, Ray, that your fans will do if they don't have football to watch?
It's not just the fans. That's one part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the evil that I'm afraid of.
Well, evil.
If there's no football.
Right.
All television programs will star Chelsea Handler and Rosie O'Donnell.
Where are you getting your information? I'd like to do my own research.
You do the research.
But where do I go? Where do you
get evil that will walk the earth?
Okay.
With no football.
Okay.
All women will experience vaginal dryness.
What? Well, I don't think that
because
has
there's no football.
Yes, because of the evil. If there's no football, pets will turn on you and start to eat you.
I don't.
All your pets.
I don't
I
even
mean, all of them. I mean, iguana. Hamster, snake, newt.
Who has a newt?
Some people have newts. Okay. Guinea pig.
But wait, all those.
Puppy,
okay.
Cat,
right. But
fish.
Right.
Okay. Goldfish.
I think we all understand pets.
We know what a pet is, right? But
spider.
Okay, but why will a guinea pig turn on me just because there's no football?
Because of the evil. Because of the evil.
Okay.
That will be around if there's no football.
But if football comes back, and then the
then
iguana
the
will know
will,
it?
The pets will settle down.
I see.
And they will be loving pets again instead of the deadly, deadly newts that we will have. If there's no football, all chocolate will become that semi-sweet kind that you bake with, and it will not taste good to be eaten.
That's BS chocolate.
That is BS chocolate, you're right, and that is evil chocolate. There will be evil if there's
no football.
NFL football, you right get evil chocolatey newts with vaginal dryness in a sitcom with Chelsea Handler.
That's a terrible combination of things,
that
Ray
is.
Lewis.
So you better be football.
There better be football.
Or your ass is one chocolatey newt.
Okay. All right.
We're going to catch up with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky coming up after the top of the hour. Ralph, you're going to be very disappointed in what Buzzkill is talking about today.
Oh, what now? Oh, don't drink. Don't do cocaine. Oh, it's bad for you. Blah, blah, blah.
He's coming down on these rehab centers called wet houses where you can drink when you're in rehab.
You know what Drew needs? Just to get a good load on. He just needs, I should take him to a bar and just get him stinking drunk.
Yep.
And maybe he'll just pull that stick out of his ass.
I agree.
Don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't do drugs. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all right, we'll just run marathons like you, golden boy.
Although I will say Dr. Drew looks 25 years younger than you do.
So maybe there is something. What? 25 years of eating kale and working out. Great. Good times. That's a life. That's what you want to do every day.
Anyway, that's on the way after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Beach Show. First, though, Ralph is here, sounding great, feeling good. Take a look at the show, Bisbee. What's going on?
You want to live a long life full of fun, or you want to live a short life full of fun, or a long life full of boring vitamin pills and jazzercise classes?
They still do jazzercise?
I don't know, but I'm just saying. Sometimes it's quality over quantity when it comes to years. Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's got problems. The other shoe has dropped. The first of what I can only imagine is going to be a long line of mistresses has come forward and said, oh, yeah, I slept with Arnold while he was married with Maria Shriver.
But only once, so that's good. I mean, at least you can handle that.
No, it was a decade-long affair that Gigi Goyette claimed she had with the former governor, former movie star.
Wow.
She says that she got together. Well, first she met Arnold back in the 70s when she was working on Little House on the Prairie when she was 16.
Was he on that show?
No, okay. I think they were moving in some mutual Hollywood circles and they ran into each other.
All right.
Then they reconnected in 89, and Gigi claims that they had a 10-year affair after that.
He's a juggler, that Arnold.
He
had to make it work.
No wonder he was never taking care of anything that happened with the state, because he was too busy putting it someplace.
I'm sure that this is the oldest story in the world, but how do you get away with an affair for 10 years? I mean, I guess they did a fair amount of traveling, and
I think Arnold was busy. Affair is...
it's a booty call.
Yeah, it's a marginal term. I don't think they were spending moonlit evenings, you know, strolling the beach, having dinner together. I just think they had continual sex over 10 years. Whenever they would get together, they would
every couple of months for 40 minutes. That you can hide, right?
Exactly. It wasn't as if they had a real relationship.
40 minutes. That's funny.
Now Arnold's representative is saying that she's not to be trusted because he claims that Gigi sold at least 4 stories to the tabloids related to Arnold. And he said she's a person who just wants to make money selling stories. Doesn't mean they're not true, just means she's selling them. So
both are possible.
Both are possible.
Sure.
I'll take that for what it's worth. However, Gigi claims that she knows about a dozen other women that Arnold has slept with.
All right.
So this may not be
the last.
They
have a book club or something?
Yeah, they get together and they, you know, review notes about how Arnold was.
What did he do to you? Oh, yeah, okay.
Speaking of Arnold, the California Attorney General's office is reportedly investigating Arnold because they claim, allegedly, he used state-funded security details to escort women in and out of his hotel rooms. The head of security at the Sacramento Hilton is at least one witness who claims he frequently saw highway patrol officers escorting scantily clad women in and out of Schwarzenegger's hotel suite.
That's why you get into government, isn't it?
That's why I would get into government. I mean,
come on.
Apparently you're not supposed to use the state-funded security detail to get your little hose in and out of your suite.
Since when?
Well,
it's crazy.
Since ever, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. This is bad news for me. Cheryl Cole, the smoking hot pop star.
She's way hot.
Has been dropped as a judge on the U.S. edition of Simon Cowell's The X Factor program.
Oh, how come?
Well, Us Weekly claims that Fox is nervous because no one knows who she is here in the States.
Have they seen her?
It's ridiculous. But they also worry that her heavy Northern English accent would be difficult for viewers to understand. So Fox has told Simon that she can't be one of the judges. See, this is the short-sightedness of television networks today. They think the audiences are idiots and they can't. First of all, they can't watch anybody who's new who they don't already know somehow. That's why people with, you know, Twitter accounts get sitcoms, because they think it's better to take a risk on something that's slightly famous rather than something really good that no one has seen before. And then they think we can't comprehend a British accent, so we don't want her on our television set.
I can't believe that Simon Cowell doesn't have the kind of deal for this show where he gets to make those final decisions above the network's wishes.
Well, who knows how he makes his... where he draws his line and what battles he's fighting for or not. But what they've done is they've got Simon, Paula Abdul, L.A. Reid, and Nicole Scherzinger from the Pussycat Dolls was originally hired as a co-host on the show, but now she's moving into a judge's chair.
All right.
And Steve Jones, who is the British TV host of the show in England, will be the host here in the United States.
I have a statement from Cheryl Cole if you'd like to hear that.
No, I'd love to.
Actually, funnily enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
Well, maybe they're right. Maybe they're right.
She had that to say.
Maybe they're right. Maybe we wouldn't understand her.
She sounded disappointed to be bumped from the show in that clip.
And this is good news. VH1's bringing back pop-up videos. Pop-up videos.
Is that maybe lame? I used to love those.
I love videos.
Oh, it's great. Great show.
Videos.
Good. I didn't know what
I would sit. If they had one of those marathons on, I knew I was gone for the day. I was toast. I would just stretch out on the couch and just watch me some pop-up videos.
Even songs that you
didn't
like.
Matter. Yeah. Fascinating little tidbits of information would come popping up on my screen. Pop videos.
I feel like that's what Bean sees his life as.
Like walking along, the he just visualizes bubbles walking around everywhere he looks.
Right, but it's not interesting.
No.
Pop-up videos was really interesting somehow.
I agree.
All right.
The show's been off the air for 10 years. Can you believe it's been gone for 10 years? But VH1 ordered 60 new half-hour episodes that will debut in the fall. So this time it'll be pop videos, rock videos, and VH1 said they're adding rap and hip-hop videos to the lineup as well. So,
all right,
a lot of good viewing coming up on VH1.
Actual music videos.
And it's hard in the other room, boys and girls.
Why?
The office.
Why?
It's a little down in there right now.
What are they upset about?
Maybe we should send them a bottle of champagne or something to their table to cheer them up.
What happened?
Silver Chair is broken up.
No!
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Not Silver Chair.
Oh, I love Silver Chair. I can't believe they broke up. They are so good, that band. I like them. Dave's very upset that Silverchair is broken up. The Australian trio has been together for 20 years.
What?
They've been together for 20 years.
I know that they, you know, they had a brief moment of fame in the United States, and then we kind of forgot about it. But I know that they continue to go on and make, you know, huge hit records around the world for a long, long time.
Tomorrow was probably their biggest hit that you know them
right
by. And that was from their 1995 debut album, Frog Stomp.
Yeah.
They put the band together when they were all just 12 years old. That's how long they've been together.
I think we'll be all right.
The band says they've just lost the spark, so it was time for them to part ways. Well, overdue, if you ask me.
You remember that song?
I love that Tomorrow song with the Salvature.
You guys remember that song? Remember Tomorrow?
No,
at the time,
I mean, the
guy sounded like Eddie Vedder a little bit. I mean, he had a really big, big voice.
Maybe we'll
great
find
song.
Maybe we can find
yeah,
that.
Dig it up.
Play a little bit for you just to remind you who Silverchair was. And this way you can mourn them.
Then you go,
I did like that band. Oh, I'm bummed now.
Because right now, I don't have an idea.
Nothing's popping. Nothing's clicking.
I'm all right.
Maybe we can have Dave come in and sing it. Maybe he can remind us what it sounded like.
Great singer.
Oh, I love Salvature.
Today's celebrity
he's
birthday.
He's like Cheryl Cole. We have to fire him because nobody can understand what he says.
Philip Michael Thomas from Miami Vice. He was Stubbs. Crockett and Stubbs.
I think it was Tubbs.
Oh. Chubbs. I called him Chubbs.
Yeah.
He was a little fat.
He was. Wasn't Miami Vice your favorite TV show of all time for a long time, Kevin?
Well, it was on, yeah. I liked it a lot.
It was a good show.
You go back and watch it now, it doesn't really hold up.
No. It has aged about as well as those white suits that Don Johnson used to wear.
Some shows are just
no
timeless.
Socks.
You can watch them anytime and they're totally relevant. That's not one of them.
This one smells like the 80s.
Yes, it does.
He is 62 years old today. Pam Grier is also 62. Bobcat Goldthwait is 49. Lenny Kravitz celebrates his 47th birthday. Helena Bonham Carter is 45. Actor Joseph Fiennes is 41 years old today. And South Park co-creator Matt Stone celebrates his 40th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show, funny man Doug Stanhope on the program later on today. Also, Quentin Rampage Jackson talking about his UFC 130 fight this weekend. And I don't remember that we've done this too often in the past. We're going to give you tickets to that fight. You can actually go to UFC in Vegas this weekend. Nice way to spend your Memorial Day. That is coming up. First, though, how about our old friend Dr. Drew Pinsky? Of course, you know him and you love him from Loveline 5 nights a week across this great country of ours. And you can see him every weeknight on Headline News from CNN starting at 9 o'clock with his show just called Dr. Drew. Hey, Doc, how are you, man?
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you,
hey,
too.
Dr. Drew, how are you?
Kevin.
Thank you.
Kevin. Well, the deal is, Kevin, Bean and I have been on a love fest. When you were on vacation, I discovered the new Bean.
Bean. Is there a new Bean?
Well, a real Bean.
Saying I bring out the worst in him?
Well, yeah.
All right.
Although I think today you're going to be getting it from both barrels from Kevin. I think Kevin is the one who's actually pretty upset with you today, Dr. Drew, so you may regret this call.
No, right. I'm not upset at all. This is the best. I've never heard of rehab where they give you alcohol.
Well, we watched an episode we did on HLN where we discussed something called wet houses.
Wet house?
Yes.
So you're a drunk and you go there and they treat you with alcohol.
That's what they do.
Right. That's what you want, right?
Sponsored by Kevin.
Isn't that the hardest part is giving up the alcohol?
Yeah, that is the hardest
part. Okay, so they say don't do that.
Well, it's a crazy thing. They have these like they have shooting galleries in some countries where people are allowed to given syringes and allowed to go do their drugs
right
in certain areas. This is that same idea. And by the way, I was not endorsing this idea.
Of course not. I am, though.
We were just
We have the drunk guy that you had on the show that you were interviewing who said he's been sober for 2 years.
All right.
And he's fantastic. This guy I want to room with when I join.
This is a program that's designed for chronic alcoholic men. The difference is there is alcohol in the mix.
Okay, so you got that going. The difference is they serve you alcohol.
When we first heard the story, they were alleging that they were a hospice. They were a place for people to go to die with dignity. And as you get more in, then they would say, well, unfortunately, somebody died. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, a hospice, death with dignity is the goal of treatment. So if somebody dies, you expect that. Then I find out they are really there just, as you say, providing the alcohol, doing something, a form of treatment called harm avoidance, where you minimize the sort of medical and social harm somebody does by letting them go somewhere and do their damn drugs. And we had William Moyers there from Hazleton, and he was all upset about this. And
he wasn't happy with it, if
no,
that's what you're saying.
No, he's not happy at all. And I wasn't particularly happy with it, but I understand there are different ways to approach these things. And that guy you just heard from was saying that, well, you know, actually when you get in there and you have all this access to alcohol, you kind of see how gross it is, and you kind of aren't so interested in it. And they offer you treatment eventually, too.
Well, really?
How many guys actually get treated? And how many guys are just dying of alcoholism there at the facility?
Here's my favorite part, my favorite question and favorite answer of all time.
Joe, did you get any treatment there?
No.
Okay, good. No treatment, just alcohol.
That's something else.
That's the way to do rehab right there.
Well, it's not rehab. It's really closer to hospice. And I know, Kevin, when you're ready to go, we'll send you there.
All right.
Speaking of rehab, the voice of Dr. Drew Pinsky here on the Kevin and Bean Show talking about his HLN show airs weeknights at 9. Let's talk about your friend Jeff Conaway, who I understand you actually visited in the hospital last week. And I gathered from your tweets, Doctor, that the condition that you saw him in at least that day was very different than what had been widely reported in the media. Can you tell me what's going on?
Well, Friday was different, but today is not so different.
Yeah.
Here's the bottom line. He did not overdose. He was on, you know, his pills, like the doctors have been giving him for his chronic pain in excessive amounts, and apparently got pneumonia and sat at home not realizing how sick he was because he was on all those pills.
Right.
And by the time he got to the hospital, it was way too late, and he had overwhelming pneumonia, then sepsis, and then respiratory failure, then kidney failure.
Wow.
And Friday, I mean, he was, you know, desperately ill on Friday, but it looked like he might go either way. And then it's just a horrific weekend where the wheels came off the wagon, and I don't think he's, frankly, I don't know that he's going to last a day today.
Wow.
So it's
well, that's real sad. You know, we've talked to you about this before, Dr. Drew, especially with all the patients that we know about, the ones we see from celebrity rehab. Do you give up on some people? Are there some people that you know when you're saying goodbye to them at the gates on that final day or even at the reunion show, you think, I did the best I could, but this person just is never going to get their life back together?
You know, that happens in treatment a lot, and there's sort of two sides to that. One is people like Bob Forrest, I gave up on completely. In fact,
wow.
Bob used to come on Loveline back in the days when he was part of the band Thelonious Monster back in the 80s. And he was such a horrific drug addict and looked so awful. And I'd given up so many times, I finally thought, this guy's dead. And it wasn't until 10 years later I was giving a lecture, and there's a guy sitting in the front row. I thought, God, the guy looks like Bob Forrest, but he's dead. This is not possible. It's Bob Forrest. And lo and behold, it was Bob Forrest.
Who helps you with celebrity rehab
exactly.
And your rehab.
Yeah. And he's a great treatment professional. And I, you know, I have experiences like that all the time where people that I'm just convinced are going to die don't. But on the other hand, I when we were the last episode of Celebrity Rehab, which we filmed 3 or 4 months ago, which is going to air at the end of June, Jeff was I could just tell we were going to lose. I'm not going to tell you who. I walked in. I said, "These people are going to die soon. Everyone needs to prepare for it."
Oh man!
And he was one of them.
And I'll tell you the flip side of that, which is even more shocking in some ways, are the guys that you think, "Wow, they've really turned the corner. They're going to make it." And I'm going to tell you, the last time I saw Mike Starr on your show, I thought, "Here's a happy ending. This guy looks great, sounds great, seems to really be preaching. I think he's licked it." And then, of course, we all know what happened tragically a few months later.
Jeff was starting to actually do better before this all happened, and that's the part that just breaks your heart. I mean, it just kills you when they're just like, okay, here we go. And Mike, you know, Mike picked up, he was doing really well and picked up, moved to Utah all of a sudden because he wanted to start a band. And we were all like, no, Mike, no, and lo and behold, he calls me a couple weeks before and says, you know, I'm having back pain. I got to see a doctor. I'm like, no, do not go to a doctor and say you have back pain. They will give you painkillers. And the week later, he was gone. That was it.
Let me ask you one more question, Dr. Drew, of something I saw on your HLN show recently, and I want you to tell me how common this is, because it just sounded crazy in the 21st century. You had Don Lemon on, who's a very popular CNN anchor. He's a black guy, and I bring that up because he's recently written a book that surprised a lot of people that he came out of the closet. He said, I am gay and I am black, and that's a tough position to be in. He told you a story about how often he tried to pray the gay away. That still goes on, Dr. Drew?
We actually did a whole episode on that. There's organizations around the country that advertise this, that we're going to make you not gay. And
how's that work?
Yeah, it doesn't work. It's very strange. Some of these guys live a heterosexual lifestyle and sort of contain their impulses, even though the gay never goes away, obviously. Obviously, not the healthiest way to live, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Jeff real quick and just say that his family is at his side even now. I was there day before yesterday, and I talked to them again last night, and they've been asking me to update people about his condition.
Oh, okay,
and,
good.
And to talk about, you know, what actually happened to him. So please, prayers for Jeff, but I don't think it's going to go well.
Okay. Dr. Drew is the name of the show. Tonight's topic, by the way, looks awesome. Overcoming sexual addiction. That's going to be at 9 o'clock, 6 our time on HLN, and then repeats, of course, throughout the evening, too. Dr. Drew, always great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
You guys brought up a good point off the air earlier today, which is imagine how fat Oprah is going to get now that she's not on television every day.
Every day. I mean, she had trouble with weight while she was on TV.
Yeah, that's true.
Man, now that she's retired, woo, she probably already gained like 50 pounds in one day.
Oprah's done. Yesterday was the finale that finally aired. And it's weird. In some of the press leading up to this, they've been showing a lot of highlights of past shows. And I guess her most famous show is the show where she brought out the wheelbarrow full of fat.
Oh, yeah. I watched that one.
To demonstrate how much weight she had lost. How much
I
was it?
I saw the wheelbarrow full of fat last night at the Troub.
80 pounds or something, maybe 80,
large amount. But anyway. And she was talking about that that episode, how she brought it out and how she was so happy and she felt so good. The next, I think 2 days later, she could not fit into those jeans that she wore on that episode. She just basically starved herself to that episode and obviously did more than starve herself to lose 60 or 80 pounds, whatever it was.
She was on liquid diet. It was a liquid diet.
Yep. And then she just ballooned up after that to the point where literally she couldn't put the pants on that she wore on that show. 2 days later, she couldn't wear. And then she ended up gaining most of that.
By this weekend, they're going to need a crane to get her out of her house. Here's a funny story, though. This is amazing. This guy named Robert Spearing, who's 44 years old, told his wife, I got tickets for the Oprah finale. I guess his wife is a huge Oprah fan. So they're in Canada. They're in Ontario. And they get the car, and they drive down to Chicago. And a day before Oprah's show that he was going to take his wife to, he got mugged.
Oh.
And somebody stole the tickets.
How sad.
So he called the police, and the police came, and they took him to the hospital, look at a wound in his head, look at his, you know, hand was beaten up and stuff, and they started asking him questions, and it wasn't really adding up, and they weren't really buying his story. And then he finally came clean with the police in that he never had tickets to the show.
Oh, my God.
So he told his wife he did, but he never had them. And I don't know why he got in the car and drove to Chicago, but you know he was thinking the whole way, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get out of this? The answer is, he said a black man and a Hispanic man beat him up.
Like
no,
they do.
He beat himself up.
Oh, my God.
This is a true story. This guy, Robert Spearing, beat himself up and then said he was mugged. So he dragged his hands along the ground to get him to bleed.
Jeez.
He like hit himself in the head with a rock or something. He literally gave himself injuries so that he could say he was mugged. And the first question they were asking is, what kind of thugs would beat you up for Oprah tickets?
Yeah, that's, you know, a really good
that's
question.
All they took is Oprah tickets? That doesn't make any sense. He's like, well, I didn't know what I was going to tell my wife.
What kind of trouble was he in that he had to come up with that whopper?
That's a great question, Lisa, because clearly at some point he decided my wife will be so happy with me if I tell her that we have Oprah tickets,
yeah,
and that'll get me off the hook for whatever she's mad at me about.
But then
it would have been a lot better if he actually had the Oprah tickets.
It would have.
He didn't, so he beat himself up.
So what was going through his head in the entire drive from Ontario down to the United States?
It had to be, what am I going to tell her? But then he also had to be hatching the plan, like, I need an out. Right. How can I lose/get stolen? Like, what could happen to these tickets that I supposedly had so that I can save face and she'll still believe me?
Maybe he was even trying to get the tickets. Like, he'd go in the bathroom and call ticket brokers or something and then realize
could be. I don't
it's
know.
Impossible.
Yeah. So he beat himself up, got taken to the hospital.
Oh, my God.
Well, we started talking about this when the news broke, and we thought, I bet there are an awful lot of people who find themselves in situations where now they've told a lie, and now they've got to figure out a way to cover it up. Like, how do you get out of whatever it is you're expected to bring, whoever you're expected to know, wherever you're expected to go? How do you now get out of it when you're push comes to shove, when it's time?
I have the answer to that. It's before you get in the car and drive to Chicago. I don't know what the answer is, but you don't drive to Chicago. You go, hey, you know what? I tried and my source fell through. Something. Just tell her you don't have them, or you thought you did, you got scammed. I mean, come on. You got to beat yourself up.
I've told this before, but I was dating someone who was supposed to show up for dinner and never did, like never showed up, and the next day said he was in jail overnight.
Okay.
Well,
was that good?
You can actually check that.
So you did?
Not in jail.
Not in jail.
Not in jail. Just in a hotel room doing drugs.
Oh, my God. But that's exactly what we're looking for, Lisa, at 1-800-520-1067. If that guy were going to call us right now,
yeah,
he would say, yeah, I set up a dinner with this chick, and then I decided I wanted to do drugs instead, so I had to make up this elaborate story about how I was in jail. Then she busted me because she checked. By the way, how creepy are you that you checked?
That's what I'm thinking. Who checks?
There was a bit of a history, people.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Yeah. I gotcha.
Well, how far would you go? How far would you, or have you, more importantly, gone to cover up a lie? It could be a lie at work, could be a lie to your significant other, but you made the promise, you can't follow through, so now you have to come up with plan B that is believable and gets you out of the lie. That's what this guy was thinking. If I get beat up and mugged, then it's not my fault I don't have the tickets.
And she
feels bad for me, and yep. I'm scot-free. This works.
Yep.
And you know that he's praying, oh, maybe the show will get canceled, maybe it won't happen, and then I'll never have to reveal that I lied about having the tickets. I mean, he was just hoping for any way out of it.
This dude spent a night in jail. He was in court in felony disorder conduct. Felony, because he involved the police and made a false police report. So this guy's dumb.
Yeah. She's leaving him.
But
let's
be honest. She was going to leave him anyway, yeah. A. And yeah. B, this guy was dumb long before this. I mean, it's got to be the kind of guy that does that kind of thing. So we're looking for your calls. 1-800-520-1067. You were in trouble at work with your significant other, whatever, or best friend. You made a promise you couldn't follow through on. So you did what to try and get out of it and to try and hide it. I hope you didn't go as dumb as Robert Spearing did and beat yourself up. Because you see that guy? Wouldn't you love to have a camera? He's hitting himself in the head with a rock.
That's hard to do,
I imagine.
That'd
be the best. All right, 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your call.
Talking about this guy, this Canadian guy, who told his wife that he had tickets for the Oprah finale, which is one of the hottest tickets in the world, by the way. I don't even know how those tickets were given out. I think those were mostly just friends and family and people who worked with Oprah, because they had the big final two shows before the final show at the United Center, and they had a ticket lottery for that. But the last show, I don't even know how you get into it. It's only 400 seats. So he tells her he has tickets. He doesn't. He makes the story up. He drives down to Chicago from where they live in Ontario.
Mistake one right there.
At some point, he's got to figure out a way to get out of the lie, which is that he doesn't have tickets. So he stages his own mugging, hits himself in the head with a rock, scrapes his hands up on the sidewalk, calls the police, figuring, oh, my wife's going to feel so sorry for me. I'm going to get sex either way, whether we have tickets or not. Well, it didn't work out that way for him, because clearly he made the whole story up. And that got us thinking about how elaborately sometimes you have to cover your tracks if you're caught in a lie at work or at home. And I think that might be some interesting phone calls at 1-800-520-1067.
Start with Joel. Hi, Joel.
Hi.
You were in trouble at work for what? For missing?
Yeah. Well, basically, I'm not a good worker. I'm not a really hard worker. And my boss called me into his office. And he wanted to go over my performance, and he said, you know, what's going on? You having some trouble at home? And I said, no, not really. He said, well, you're not doing as well as everybody else, you know. You having some kind of a drug problem or something? And a light bulb went off in my head, and I said, hey, you know, if I tell this guy I got a drug problem, he can't fire me.
He'll put up with my low performance.
So I said, yeah, I've been trying to keep up with everybody else, and I just can't do it. So I started turning to drugs, and I whipped up some tears and started crying.
You cried. Come on.
Fantastic. This is a step beyond, I'm sorry I didn't show up Tuesday, my grandmother died again. This is even going beyond that. So you've got a whole backstory about how you're fighting these addictions, and they should cut you some slack, right?
Oh, yeah, because, you know, I worked at a nice office. They had an employee assistance program and everything.
Sweet.
So I knew that if I told him, if I confessed some, you know, kind of, skeleton in the closet,
he couldn't
fire me.
So did it work out? Did he ever find out?
No, he never found out about it. He said, okay, I'm going to refer you to our HR person. We're going to get you some help. You know, you're a good person. You've been with us for a couple years. We don't want to let you go. So,
awesome.
So it saved my job, and I was there for a couple more years before they finally, you know, got the picture that I wasn't going to cut it.
You're just terrible.
I'm going to keep that in mind. I'm going to start, I'm going to tell him I'm addicted to drugs and that my NA meetings only meet on Friday mornings, so I can start taking
taking Fridays off for my meetings. Because what are they going to do? I'm trying to get help. I'm trying to improve my life. I'm going to take a page out of the Joel playbook. Well done, sir. Well
done.
I'm pretty
sure no one will believe you have a drug problem.
True.
You don't know, man. You don't know. I've been hiding it for all these years. All right, let's try Adam, line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. How did you cover up your lie? That's the topic on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Adam. What happened, dude?
Morning, guys. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
So basically, I had a final and I missed it because I was hungover. So what I did was I went to like a main street and I jumped in front of a car.
Oh my god! Did you get hit?
Yes.
What are you talking about? Why would you do that?
Because it was for my my major.
Okay, so it's for your major. You miss it, but.
Well,
at least this idiot in the Oprah story beat himself up to keep the damage to a minimum. You jumped in front of a car. You could have died.
Well, it was for my major, and if I fail the class twice, then I have to choose a new major. So
wow. All right. That's so what happened? How injured were you?
I fractured 3 ribs.
Oh my god! So at least you had a doctor's note. Hey, I was in the emergency room. They can't hold that against you, right?
Exactly. So basically, I just got no credit for the class, and I was able to take it the next quarter.
Unbelievable.
You jumped in front of a car. You're so dumb.
I love this man. Are you kidding me?
I do, but...
That's fantastic.
Adam Sandler.
Well done, Adam. Well done. Thank you for the call. This is interesting. 2 for 2 so far with people who have dug themselves into deep, deep holes, but were able to figure out a way out of it, and it worked for both of them. I don't know that I'd do either one of them, but well done.
No kidding. You want to take some more? Do we have time?
Absolutely. Right. Let's try Cindy. Let's see what the ladies are up to. Cindy's on line 2. Welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Cindy, what happened?
Hello, Cindy.
Hey, Cindy.
Hi, guys.
Oh, there she is.
Hi.
So what happened? What happened at work?
What?
Bad phone. All right, one more then.
She was hungover, so she called into work, said she got in a motorcycle accident. By the way, 100% of these have worked so far. We've not heard one person say it didn't work.
Let's see what Mike's all about. Line 3. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What was your lie?
I called my boss and told him that my wife had gotten into a car accident, and I was using at the time, and I've been up all night. And my wife is pretty slick, so she called my boss to see if I was really at work, and he told her that no, my wife got into a car accident. And
your wife called in to work to check and see if you were there?
Yeah, she called my boss to see if I was there.
Why?
Because I had called in to work. I called in sick and said told my boss that my wife had gotten into a car accident.
Right.
And my wife knew I was using at the time, and she wanted to see if I was really at work.
Oh. So you weren't at home either.
So you weren't at home either.
Gotcha.
So your alibi at work busted you on your alibi at home.
That's right.
Sweet. So you're
so
a
it didn't work out
failure.
For him.
Didn't work out. All right. But sounds like you had a good plan.
Started off as a good plan.
Well done. It's that time every hour for Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. What's new in Hollywood, Ralph?
Well, all we're talking about is Gigi Goyette. This Gigi Goyette, she is a goer.
Gigi
More
Goyette.
Details coming out about her relationship with Arnold Schwarzenegger. She went to Extra, the TV tabloid show, and talked to Jerry Pinacoli about her affair with the governor, former movie star, famously now, of course, father of a love child with his housekeeper. Now we find out that she had a decade-long affair, in quotes, with Schwarzenegger, which means he boned her on and off for 10 years.
Isn't it funny that everybody sort of keeps their silence until one person comes out, and then they all go, "Ah, me too."
It's the mob mentality. It's like, I don't want to be the first. No, I don't want to be the first. Oh, you went? Okay, I'll go too. It's like showing up at a party. You don't want to be the first one right there. But the minute someone else shows up, you can walk
Throw your hat in the ring.
Here's the thing. More details are coming out today about this relationship. She was a child actress, appeared on Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah, and Arnold played Pa.
No, that was Michael Landon. Schwarzenegger was an up-and-coming star in the 70s. You know, Pumping Iron had come out. He was sort of, he was on his way to becoming Conan. She met him, apparently, when he was 27 years old. She was, 16 years old.
Ooh.
And that was the first time they had sex.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's against the law.
That is so against the law. Then she met him again in 89. And it sounded like she was pursuing him a little bit because she started to work for his bodybuilding competition.
Sure.
And then for the next 10 years, apparently, they had sex on and off. Here's a little taste of Gigi Goyette telling her story.
Arnold is a very physical, sexual, voracious appetite male that likes a lot of physical attention. Mm-hmm. He used his, you know, fame and notoriety to get women.
Right.
But I think the fact of that his body and his je ne sais quoi, his magnetism that he had with women.
His magnetism.
Was just, he was so intense. It was hard to say no.
It's hard to say no to Arnold.
Not her fault.
Can't.
It's the magnetism.
It's the magnetism. He is such a voracious sexual male that,
she had no choice.
Does that have the smell of somebody who's trying to sound smarter than they are?
Oh, yeah.
Or English is her second language, one of the two.
No, she speaks both. English and she's just dumb.
What? I mean, look, as we talked about with Harvey Levin earlier this week, we forget about all of these scandals, and Arnold is going to be starring in a big summer blockbuster next year. It's not like this is the end of anything for Arnold. Right now, though, he's just got to be sitting there going, oh, what have I done?
Yeah,
this sucks.
They said about Mel Gibson.
Right?
Then the Beaver came out and died at the box office.
And they're still saying that about Mel Gibson.
Who knows? The real tragic news today, though, however, people have been talking about it. I get a lot of tweets. At Ralph Garman, of course, is my Twitter account. A lot of emails, a lot of phone calls this morning.
About
people,
what?
People just inconsolable, having a hard time, you know, making people calm down, just in sobbing in tears.
I didn't get any of those emails.
You didn't?
No, that's...
Kevin Silverchair broke up.
No!
Dave, the King of Mexico here, has been listening to Silverchair all morning long in the office in his headphones.
What?
Just sobbing.
Is that him?
That's him right there.
He's taking it pretty hard.
Dave, you're taking it pretty hard, aren't you, that Silverchair's broken up?
I'm bummed, man. I'm bummed. This really hurts.
They've been together for 20 years, the Australian trio.
I've been there with them, man.
But Dave, before today's announcement, what was the last time you actually listened to a Silverchair record?
Probably about 3 weeks ago.
Frogstomp.
Oh, all right. Okay. Frogstomp, man.
Their 1995 debut CD, Frogstomp, was a big hit here in the States.
Yeah.
They've been a big hit in Australia for their entire career, but I guess Tomorrow was their biggest hit here, and Dave asked if he could do a little tribute.
Oh, no!
Yeah, he wanted to, he wanted to do a little tribute on to sing a little Tomorrow for the audience, just as his little goodbye to Silverchair.
Me.
And you okay this?
Ready? All right.
You're gonna wait till fat boy, wait till tomorrow.
I don't even reckon, I don't,
thank
that
you.
Doesn't,
thank you very much.
Let's see if it sounded like this at all.
You should have sung this song, Dave. My part's coming up. Here we go. Or not.
That's the song Dave was singing.
They wrote that when they were 15 years old. Kevin, what were you doing at 15?
15 years old.
I was
old.
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
What are they doing at 15 years old?
So they got a little British there.
They're doing an ode to.
Carry on, fellas.
I like more of Dave's version of that one.
Wow.
He cares about the strangest things.
They wrote that when they were 15 years old.
Well,
I'm pretty awesome.
You are pretty awesome. That was fun.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Brent Musburger is 72 years old today. Legendary sportscaster.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when he used to host the NFL on CBS.
Yeah,
he was the man.
For the longest time.
Yeah. And then he said something like Blacks Can't Swim or something. And they
was
fired
he one
him.
Of those?
Yeah, he was one of those guys. Had a big scandal.
Really?
Had a big scandal that ruined his career pretty much. Set him packing. And then slowly he got back into the business, started doing college ball games and that kind of stuff.
No, in his defense, though, name a lot of black swimmers. I mean, come on.
Oh, Bean, see?
Seriously, why would you say that?
Philip Michael.
Oh, come on. Those kinds of jokes aren't helping.
Philip Michael Thomas from Miami Vice is 62 years old
can't
today.
Can't swim.
As is Pam Grier.
Can.
Ooh. 62 years old today. Bobcat Goldthwaite turns 49. Lenny Kravitz is 47. Helena Bonham Carter is 45. Joseph Fiennes from Shakespeare in Love and Flash Forward is 41. And Matt Stone, co-creator of South Park, along with his buddy Trey Parker, 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and walk the show, Bisbee.
I'm surprised how good you sound today, Kevin, because you must be devastated that American Idol is over.
Oh, yeah, very sad about that. I thought you were talking about the Galaxy. I thought you were talking about the Galaxy game last night that I went to. I was surprised that you...
let me guess. It ended in a tie. Did it end in a tie?
No.
It didn't?
No.
There was a soccer game that didn't end in a tie.
Okay, then it was 1-0, right?
It was 25-19.
It was.
Yeah.
It
was
crazy.
Yeah,
What was the final score of your soccer game?
I don't know. Before that.
you didn't even look when you got home to see who won?
Let's talk about American Idol.
Let's talk about Kevin, the dedicated soccer fan.
First time Kevin's ever said those words, by the way.
All right, here's the thing. American Idol. The reason I wanted to bring up American Idol today was twofold. One is, for people who don't watch the show, which is a lot of people, you can't believe how crazy the finales are. Because they forget that you have been invested in these contestants all season long, and now you're at the point where somebody's going to be crowned the idol. They wait in a broom closet and bring them out in the last minute of the show to announce the winner. Am I right about that, Ralph? They don't even exist on the show before the very last 2 minutes of the show.
No, they bring in all 11 other finalists and make them sing and dance like monkeys for an hour along with all these guest stars with the failures. Yeah, and the two winners really are just kept sequestered.
Now, Jimmy Kimmel, I do watch, and I watched him, and he was recapping what was happening last night at American Idol, and then I need some kind of explanation as to why.
There are a number of high-profile music performances on the show tonight. Mark Anthony, Carrie Underwood, Lady Gaga, Beyonce, Bono, The Edge, Lil Jon, Tim McGraw, Judas Priest, and Tom Jones. It was like a mixtape from an ex-boyfriend who hated you.
That is accurate. And the weird thing is they don't promote any of the acts. It's all top secret, shrouded in complete secrecy. There's no promos that says, hey, don't miss. You would think, Bono and The Edge and the kid from the Spider-Man musical doing a number from that, you'd think that's the type of thing you'd want to promote, but they don't. You never know what's happening until it happens on the screen. And it was just the most crazy mishmash. I mean, on what show is Judas Priest, Tony Bennett, and Lil Jon? How does that happen?
Yeah, and did it work? I mean,
I thought there were some really good performances last night.
Yeah, individually, but as a show, it just seems all disjointed.
They're just
and
wasting
weird
2 hours until they. Is it 2 hours?
Yeah. And you got Seacrest walking around in a tuxedo, and no one else is really wearing a tuxedo. It looked like a bad telethon, really. It looked like they were raising money for some charity they never quite identified, and they just had this complete unmatched list of celebrity guests who were stopping by to perform, and then Seacrest would say something into a microphone wearing a tuxedo. It was very strange.
It was fairly random, but I will tell you that Beyonce has never been hotter than she is right now.
She looked great.
And you think some of these contestants on the show are pretty talented until Beyonce walks out and starts singing and dancing with them and you realize they're dog food and she's unbelievable. Jennifer Lopez has never looked hotter than she did last night. Yeah. She was shaking that ass with her husband Mark Anthony last night. Oh my God, did she look amazing. But once you crown your American Idol winner, and this is what the whole point of this conversation is, are they destined for obscurity now? Is that what's going on, Ralph? In the last few years, it just seems like who can even remember who won the competition?
Yeah, it's become meaningless winning the competition.
There are very few that have really gone on to
be stars. The majority of the people who have succeeded from that show are people who finished in the top 10 or so, but never got close to the end.
Yeah. Kelly Clarkson, probably the biggest.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood are the two biggest sellers. But then Ralph's right. You got your Daughtry, who I think placed fourth or fifth the season he was on. He still sells a lot of records. Jennifer Hudson obviously still does well and won an Oscar. But in general, I mean, what will happen to the winner from last night's show, Scott McCreery? Will he do anything with his career, do you think, Ralph?
Because he is a country music act, he will have a successful career, I guarantee you.
As long as he wants it.
As long as he wants it, absolutely. Because they will let anyone sing their music, and they will be fans to the death of anyone who has one hit in freaking country.
Now, do they do country music very often? In other words, is there a country audience out there watching American Idol?
They say now that is the key demographic for this show, is the middle of America. Those are people who are voting, those people are tuning in. This year had never been more disparate in terms of different types of musical styles that were represented. You had a guy who did jazz, a guy who sang Judas Priest on that stage for the first time ever. They had a pop girl. They had a Celine Dion type balladeer. And then they had two people who were sort of, one was kind of country pop like Kelly Clarkson and Carrie Underwood. And then there was one straight up country dude who ended up winning last night.
And this is what Jimmy had to say about him.
To no one's surprise, 17-year-old Scotty McCreery took home the belt? Did they get a championship belt? All the big performances seem to have overshadowed the actual winner of the show. Winning American Idol is a big deal. What I hope for Scotty McCreery is he's able to maintain this level of popularity throughout his career. Most American Idol champions don't. In fact, we went out on the street today to play a game with American Idol fans called How Many Idol Winners Can You Name?
All right. Now, this is not like a difficult contest where they would say who won season two. They had 8x10 glossy pictures of these of the winners.
You just had to identify them.
Yes. And they weren't, you know, fifth through eighth or whatever. Right. These are Ruben Studdard and David Cook and Archuleta, what's his name?
David Archuleta.
And yeah. Kelly Clarkson and Taylor Hicks. I mean, they're the biggest names that have
they
come.
They were the winners on the biggest TV show in America.
That have come out of that show, and they would show them an 8x10, and here's what happened.
Oh, yeah, what's his name? He's still up there, and he's still making money, and I can't think of it. And I just, help, come on.
I don't know. Daggers, his face look familiar.
I think he won last year, but I don't know his name.
Didn't he just win or something? I don't know his name, though.
I know who that is. Who is that?
What is that guy's name?
Oh, he was on the...
He's the old guy. Yeah, I...
That was Taylor Hicks, by the way, the old guy, right?
Must have been. Yeah,
of course. I think your name is Liz or something.
Liz. David Archuleta.
Oh, that's the Kelly Pickler. That's the one.
Ugly Betty?
Ugly Betty, by the way.
Ugly Betty, that's
the best guess. Bucky Covington.
That's, I know that guy. Wait, he was David Cook. Got one.
God, are we good or what?
They got one.
Ugly Betty had to be Jordan Sparks, right? That's who he was confused
I'm
with.
Guessing, yeah.
Anyway, so Scott McCreery, 17-year-old Scott McCreery, who, by the way, has a final in one of his classes on Thursday. Let's not forget, he literally is still in high school, but we'll see what kind of career he ends up having. I know, how crazy is that, right? All right, that was last night's Idol. Let's look ahead toward this weekend. If you don't have plans for Memorial Day weekend, why not head to Las Vegas? UFC 130 is happening Saturday night at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in Las Vegas. Pretty hot ticket, right?
Sure.
So I say that to remind you that if you can't go to Las Vegas this weekend, you should not pick up the phone and call us right now, because these tickets are for people who will use them, right?
You also need to have a little bit of knowledge about that world, about the UFC world, the MMA, and the fighters.
Got to be a fan, and you got to be able to go to Vegas this weekend.
Right. Now, I guarantee you, the first 10 people are going to go, oh, nope, can't go to Vegas, sorry.
So UFC 130, if you're a fan of UFC, you're going to love this. 1-800-520-1067 will give you a chance to win those tickets right after this on the Kevin and Bean. UFC 130, Las Vegas this weekend, 1-800-520-1067. Time to play Kevin and Bean's Fight Club.
This is Fight Club. Gotta see the UFC. Gotta kick ass if you want to go to Vegas, baby. We want to see blood, so you gotta play like a thug. And if you win our little game, then you can take your best bud. This is Fight Club.
See, because in the club...
Fight Club, right.
See what happened there.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm afraid I do. All right, so UFC 130 with Quentin Rampage Jackson, who, by the way, we should give him a new nickname of Quentin No Show Jackson, because he was scheduled to be on with us in about 15 minutes or so and just pulled out. What's up with that? He is going to be headlining the fight this weekend in Las Vegas. Kevin, you've been to this UFC in Las Vegas.
No better
time in the world, right?
Yeah, it's awesome. Really fun.
All right, so that's the prize up for grabs. Kevin, why don't you explain to our callers on hold and the folks listening at home what the game is all about.
All right, it's about UFC nicknames. Every single fighter, it seems, has a nickname, and some of them are good, some of them are scary, some of them are terrible, the opposite of scary, but they all have a nickname. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you the nickname, and you have to tell us the fighter's name.
Oh.
Now, it's not going to be the obscure ones either. It's going to be pretty much the big ones. So let's start with Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hey,
Brian, you're a UFC fan?
Yes, sir.
And you can go to Las Vegas this weekend if you end up winning, right?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Okay. All right. We'll start off with an easy one for you. Who is the fighter whose nickname was or is The Natural?
Randy Couture.
You better know
there
that.
There you go. There you go. You got to know that
Fight
one.
Club.
All right. I don't know that we need to hear from Omar every time, but,
Fight Club.
You are in the drawing, my friend. Good luck.
That was the biggest one ever. If he didn't get that, we were going to beat him up. All right. Jose, hi.
Hi.
Jose, who is... The Iceman.
The Iceman.
Another superstar, Chuck major, Liddell. Major. Yeah, Chuck Liddell. Well done.
This is Fight Club.
Okay, thank you.
I don't know, did it sound like he typed it in?
Yeah, totally.
Really, because the Iceman, really, again, is maybe one of the biggest of all time. All right, let's go to Andrew. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, now.
Hey, now.
Andrew, we're going down a weight and weight a little bit. That's a hint. But we are looking for the name of the fighter who goes by the California Kid.
Uriah Faber.
You're right. 3 for 3.
This is Fight Club.
Wow. Nice. You say we don't need that every time, or we do?
I don't think we do, no.
I think we do. Let's go to Art. Hey, Art.
Hey, how you doing?
Very good.
All right, Art. One of the fighters on the bill this weekend. Who is Big Country?
That's Rory Nelson.
Nice. Yeah, it is.
Nicely done.
This is Fight Club.
Swear to God.
But that's what this is. I think I need to identify it. Vivian.
Hi.
All right.
Hi, Vivian. A lady who likes the UFC. I'm intrigued. All right. Another major, major, major name. His nickname is an odd one, though. Rush.
Oh,
Rush.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, if you're
sound familiar?
Rush.
No.
Oh, wow. He's George St. Pierre.
This is Fight Club.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how did... I mean, no guy wants to be known as Rush, by the way, right?
I don't know. I don't know how you get that nickname. Maybe that's just his style, is that he rushes at people. I don't know.
All right, we got time for... let's squeeze in a couple more real quick.
Let's go to Gonzalo. Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Welcome to Fight Club.
All right, Gonzalo, listen up. Who is known as the Hammer?
The Hammer.
Yeah.
This is Fight Club.
He also, of course, played Luke Skywalker in the Star Wars movies.
It's not the same person.
All right, we got one more. Time for one more.
Go to Miguel. Hi, Miguel.
Hello.
All right, Miguel, listen up. This one's just for Dave. Who is the Mexicutioner? What UFC fighter is known as the Mexicutioner?
Oh, I don't know.
That's a tougher one then.
That is a tougher one. I'm sorry. We saved it for last. Joey Beltran is the man who threatened to kill Dave.
This is Fight Club.
But got a lot of winners, a lot of good UFC fans on the line. Somebody's going to Las Vegas. Lisa, who gets the fight tickets?
Art is our winner.
Art. Yay! All right, let me find Art. Hey, Art, congratulations.
All right.
On your way to Las Vegas, UFC 130.
Excited.
Really?
And thanks for playing Fight Club.
This is Fight Club.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and by the way, coming up before 9 o'clock, we're going to play Animal by Neon Trees.
What?
Animal by Neon Trees. You get tickets and backstage passes for the K-Rock Weenie Roast when you hear that, so keep listening. It is 8:36.
Travis Pastrana, who admits he has the willingness and stupidity to try anything on a motorcycle. Pastrana flipping out of the game. Superman Seagram, Indian Air to nose wheelie. He's revving it up. There it is, a Rodeo Air. The first time it's been busted out of competition right here at the X Games.
6'2", beating up on the competition. Travis Pastrana on the Suzuki 125. A double backflip from Travis Pastrana.
Travis Pastrana, moments away from flying a car.
Wait, I can't see anything. Is that bad?
Just lay on your back.
No, no, I'm good. Oh, my God. I didn't make it.
That's usually good when you can't see anything.
Sure, yeah. 17-time X Games medalist Travis Pastrana is bringing the Nitro Circus live to Las Vegas a week from Saturday, June 4th at the MGM Grand Garden Arena. Always great to catch up with Travis, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, how are you, man?
Doing on, man. Thank you again. You guys have the most awesome intros. Super appreciate it.
It does sound pretty cool. And a lot of highlights there, isn't it?
And I don't want to put a damper on the proceedings here, but we have those standing by in the event of an obituary needed. So I just, you know, God forbid anything happens, Travis, but we'll be able to come in. We'll already have the production put together. So
after the show in Vegas, man, I'm not sure, man. There's some guys throwing down some stuff. It's gonna be pretty wild.
Tell us about the show in Vegas. Now, this is Nitro Circus, and it's going to turn into a live tour.
Yeah, well, Nitro Circus, we've done a live tour for the last couple years over in New Zealand, Australia, just kind of playing around, just touring the world and having fun. But the show really just exceeded kind of all of our expectations and just really blew up over there. And we really got a crew of, I mean, pretty much all the top action sports guys, you know, plus the general shenanigans of like Jolene and you know, Special Greg and those guys. They wanted to come to the States, and we're like, all right, let's do a one-off. Let's do a really, really big deal. I mean, we're bringing in, you know, I mean, we always have, like, guys like Jake Brown and whatnot, but we're bringing in, like, Sheckler and Bernquist and, you know, just all the top guys that we can and just throwing down. I mean, there's, I don't know, three people in the world right now, exactly three, that have ever landed a double backflip, and we're going to have four people attempting a double backflip in on dirt bikes.
So, really? So three have made it, you're going to have four try it?
Yeah.
You're not one of them, I hope.
Yeah, no, I'm doing another. They we want to have.
You said you'd never try it again.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry, Mom.
Liar.
So this is
on the BMX side. Heck, we've got different ramps and stuff. One of our guys, Andy Buckworth, he's tried a triple front. There's two guys. Only a couple guys in the world ever doing a double front. He tried a triple. He landed on his head, but he's convinced he can do it this time.
That's because he landed on his head last time.
Yeah, he hit it hard enough.
So this is really except for going to X Games, the only way to see this kind of talent in person ever, really, is your Nitro Circus show, right?
No, well, I mean, you won't actually see the stunts that are going to be tried or tricks that are going to be tried. You won't see that at X.
But I mean, just to see all of these guys in one place at one time. I mean, this is like the best. This is the best group of guys ever gotten together outside of X Games. It looks like to me on paper.
That on paper, it looks pretty good.
Yeah. So. Now, according to the commercial that I heard, you're going to try 10 stunts that will be the first in the world. Now, is the double backflip is one of them?
No. That's not. Heck, double backflip's been done.
No. I'm sorry. I know it's been done, but by other people or no?
No,
all right,
no,
what are the ten first?
We're talking new stuff. We have a side hack hooked up to a motorcycle. We've got a double side hack hooked up to a motorcycle. We've got a guy jumping the mega ramp basically in a cooler. I mean,
yeah. Did you say cooler?
Yeah, we put wheels on the bottom of a cooler. We're gonna go test this weekend. We'll see. You want to try it? I mean, all you gotta do is drop in, right?
Yeah, I'd rather not. if you don't mind. You know, I do. I watch every episode of Nitro Circus, and I always think, God, I hope they don't die tonight. It's just one of those things where you go, you really are pushing it. And now you're going to do it all in one place, all the same people, MGM Grand. It's June 4th. And
let me tell you something else, Kevin, that is worth mentioning. Top ticket, am I right about this, Travis? Top ticket price, only $79.
That is probably correct.
That's unbelievable to me. I mean, seriously, for an event like this, ticket prices from $39 to $79, which is really looking out for the fans for something like this. How many people are going to be able to get in there to see this in Las Vegas?
I think it's probably going to sell out pretty soon, we'd imagine. Probably about 12,000 people in the MGM Grand. So.
Oh, about 12,000. That's crazy. You mentioned Jolene is going to be there, who I think Kevin has a little bit of a crush on. Sure. You got Wheels is going to be there. What's he going to be trying this time around?
Aaron Wheels Fotheringham. He came to us. We saw him at Woodward. He was doing backflips in his wheelchair.
He's got a wheelchair, by the way. That's why he's named Wheels. Know. Just for those of you that don't know, he's doing backflips in a wheelchair.
Well, he's like, man, I can go down I can do the mega ramp. The X Games won't let me, but I know I can do it. We're a little skeptical. He's like, well, what's the worst that can happen? I'm going to crash so hard I can walk again. Like,
You're not going to let him go down the mega ramp, though, are you?
Well, yeah, and he's trying double backflips. He landed a front flip, he landed a backflip, and he's been to the wheels on double flips, but the chair keeps snapping in half on the landing. It's just he's so amazing, and he always gets right back up. And it's just like it's hard because he comes right after like Jolene goes, and if a girl crashes and then a guy in a wheelchair crashes, I mean that sucks. So we're like, you guys, I mean,
that's
not that guy, but you guys have to land yourself. I mean, anyone else is funny. You guys have to land.
Well, this is great because, you know, here's the thing. Most people, they know going into a big performance like this, they've got it all down. And that's not the case for a lot of these tricks and a lot of these athletes that are, they've done it sometimes, they've missed it sometimes, and they don't really know. And it's that, you don't know what's going to happen. That's crazy.
No, I mean, I think that's what really separates the Nitro Circus show from most, you know, live shows is that, we go on every night. We try to get everyone in the show to do something, even if it's not something that hasn't been done. It's something that they haven't done before.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really, man, it just fires you up, and everyone's just gets really motivated and pumped up, and everyone's excited. And it's not like Cirque du Soleil where you build something up to be, you know, like, oh, this is going to be crazy, but they do it in their sleep.
Right,
everything
right, exactly.
That we're building up to be crazy, we're actually going, oh, this is a horrible idea. All right, go.
Travis, this is the voice of Travis Pastrana. We're talking about Nitro Circus Live, which is going to be in Las Vegas the weekend after next. And by the way, please do go to NitroCircusLive.com and take a look at some of the clips of the New Zealand and Australia stuff because it'll blow your mind and you'll have to see it in person. But how do you maintain, Travis, your enthusiasm for continuing to do this as long as you've been doing it? Why do I talk to you today and you're still just as excited about this show as you have been about everything else you've ever done?
I think I'm just simple. I'm not. No, I just, I mean, Hey, you wake up every morning with a passion, and everyone's like, "You got to be crazy or this and that." But I mean, heck, it's so much better than a real job. I just came back from the house, and guys like Kenny Bartram, who had kind of been not retired but hadn't done stuff for a while, we were trying bike to bike transfers. And that's something you're not going to see, by the way. It went horribly, horribly bad.
Of course it did. I think you're going to try it. I mean, you owe it to us to try it again, though, right?
Right.
At some point.
Last time he called me a sissy, but this time you're not even going to go down on a cooler. So, I mean, I'm a sissy now, really.
I'm a sissy, if that's the definition of a guy who doesn't want to go down the big ramp in a cooler.
Well, this looks like an unbelievably good time at the MGM Grand Garden Arena, Las Vegas, Saturday night, June 4th, or I should say Saturday! Tickets start at just $39 through Ticketmaster. You can go to mgmgrand.com or nitrocircuslive.com. Every time we talk to you, Travis, we're always afraid it's going to be the last time, man, but I hope you have a great time out there, and I hope you come back soon.
Thank you.
That's the way to close, Bean. What he means is we have full confidence in you, and it's going to be a great show.
Of course, that's what I mean.
Thanks a lot, guys. I really appreciate you having me on.
Thanks, Travis.
Always.
Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8:53.
Comedian Doug Stanhope joins us right after the top of the hour here on The Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, rumor has it that we're talking to Scott Weiland tomorrow.
What?
I know. I don't know if it'll happen because he is Scott Weiland after all, but it's been a while since we caught up with Scott. He's got this autobiography out with some very, very interesting stuff in it.
Where can I lay some money on this? Where's the action?
He'll be there.
We have confidence in our boy Scotty. So anyway, that'll be tomorrow right here on the Kevin Beach Show. Right now, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Gigi Goyette's going on. She's got it going on, Gigi.
I don't, Gigi Goyette?
Yeah, Gigi Goyette is the latest Arnold Schwarzenegger mistress to come forward. I say latest because I'm expecting a long line of people
so
behind Gigi. Now serving, ding, she's like at a deli. They're going to pull a chain, a number will flip, and if you're holding that card, you get to talk to Extra or Access Hollywood. And that's what Gigi Goyette did. She talked to Extra about her relationship with Arnold. Now, she didn't have a kid from Arnold. Somehow she managed to keep her loins protected.
I didn't know that was scientifically possible.
From the Sperminator. But she did have sex with him first when she was a child star who was appearing on Little House on the Prairie. Child star is a very loose term for what she was. I think she was a child actress.
Sure. She wasn't half pint. I don't know who she is.
She worked once.
She wasn't half pint.
Yeah, it was Melissa Gilbert on that show. Yeah. At Little House on the Prairie, she met Schwarzenegger when she was 16. He was 27. Apparently, there was a sexual relationship at that point.
Allegedly.
According to Gigi Goyette. And then she saw him again years later in 89, and at that point they had a sexual relationship that lasted for a decade. A significant part of that time, he was married to Maria Shriver, by the way. Mm. Here's what Gigi had to say to Extra.
Arnold is a very physical, sexual, mm-hmm. voracious appetite male that likes a lot of physical attention. Mm-hmm. He used his fame and notoriety to get women, but I think the fact of that his body and his je ne sais quoi, his magnetism that he had with women was just, he was so intense. It was hard to say no.
Can't say no to Arnold.
It's not her fault.
He's got his body. He's got his je ne sais quoi. He's got his magnetism. Who could say no to those three things? She sounds like a winner, this Gigi Goyette.
She does.
Yeah.
Wow. And you're saying she's not hot either, right?
Well, maybe she was 40 years ago, whenever.
Right.
She's like 50 now, and she's looking a little worse for wear, and she wants the attention. That's what Arnold's management is saying, that she simply wants attention, and she has sold this story to four different outlets so far. So she's trying to make a little money off this.
Are they denying it, or are they just saying she's trying to make money?
They haven't said they denied it, so.
Because they're waiting to see what it's worth. How many people are in this train.
Right.
Yeah, they might be writing a lot of checks. She claims that her relationship with Arnold has been public knowledge for a while and that they paid her during the election to keep quiet about it.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm sure this story is not yet over.
But checks Lisa, you think went out before the election.
Yeah, no kidding. Lisa, have you ever met a guy, a grown-ass man, who didn't cheat on a girlfriend or a wife at one point? Does that exist?
Of course. There are men who have never cheated on their wives.
Really?
I imagine when you're just dating, it's way more common.
Really?
I don't know. You're married.
I cheat all the time.
I'm out there banging everybody.
But she never knows it.
I just, I
guess I'm a voracious young man.
I'm looking at the world through the prism of Ralph's showbiz beat, which seems to be 100%.
Well, we're also talking about a selected group of people.
Right.
You know,
we're talking
about
a man
actors.
Who is a voracious, and he's a sexual.
That's true.
And he's got
That's
magnetism, right. which is very different.
Qua, right.
Jenny
he doesn't have magnetism.
That's true.
So funny. She says, no, magnetism. He was a man who likes physical attention and sex. It's like, yeah, I'm sorry. You could have stopped at man, and we could have filled in all the rest of those details. Wait a minute. He's one of those dudes who likes sex and likes a woman to give him attention physically?
It sounds like she's explaining it to Bean.
Wow, he's a weirdo. He likes those.
He likes that attention.
Like that sex. All his je ne sais quoi.
He does have magnetism.
Oprah Winfrey wrapped it up yesterday, 25-year run on television. 25 years. Quarter of a century on television.
Yep.
I like the early days. I like the early Oprah.
I'm so fat.
With the jerry curl and the fur coats and the afro. Looking like a young Shirley Chisholm out there.
She's
making
looks.
A difference.
She's had some good looks.
She sure has. Her final words on the show yesterday were, I won't say goodbye. I'll just say until we meet again. No, say goodbye, Oprah. I would appreciate it if you would just say goodbye. But you know you haven't seen the last of her.
And then she said,
I've gained weight.
Oh, we knew that.
Diets do not work.
That's evident.
Now that she's not on TV every day, we need to start a pool for how long it's going to take before she hits like 400 or 500 pounds.
She is going to Orson Welles out on it.
She was on TV every day and had trouble with it.
Couldn't manage to keep the weight down then. Oh, she gets a radio show. They'll never get her out of her house.
Have to put a mic in
to tear down the walls. Bury her in a piano crate. It'll be one of those Guinness stories. You'll see her in the book someday.
Get a crane.
World's largest woman.
But sadly, there's no show for her to go on when she gets so big she can't leave her house because her show's off the air.
Everything I eat is going to make me fat anyway, and so I might as well just eat whatever I want.
That's her new attitude.
That's right.
It's good policy.
She's got a network now.
Yeah.
She's going to need a network to carry her fat ass next time she wants to get on television.
I'm pigging out.
This one show won't do it. That's what I'm predicting.
I got a thyroid problem.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's your thyroid. Your thyroid keeps eating packs of hot dogs with maple syrup on them.
My drug of choice is food.
You ever hear that story where she ate a pack of cold hot dogs with maple syrup on them?
No, I thought you were just being funny.
No.
That's a real story.
That happened.
Hot dogs with syrup?
Was something someone ate that was a human being ate that. It wasn't like a billy goat or something. A person ate that on purpose.
Wow.
Good times.
Does my butt look big?
Today's celebrity birthdays. Philip Michael Thomas of Miami Vice is 62 years old today. Last time I heard from Phil, I think he had a psychic network. I think that's the last time I saw Phil. The Philip Michael Thomas psychic hotline.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You heard about it for like one day.
He should have called up that hotline. And they could have told him, you are not going to have a career after Miami Vice. So find a vocation.
And this hotline's not going to work.
Start a trade school application for yourself. Pam Grier is 62 years old today. She's hot. Even at 62,
yes,
she's
she
hot.
Is.
Bobcat Goldthwait, 49. Lenny Kravitz, 47. Helena Bonham Carter, 45 years old. You can see her in every movie that Tim Burton makes.
She sure has crazy hair, I'll tell you that.
She is crazy.
Her hair is out of control.
Joseph Fiennes from Shakespeare in Love and Flash Forward, the TV series, is 41. And Matt Stone, co-creator of South Park, along with Trey Parker, is 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Let me tell you something about funny man Doug Stanhope. This is what I've determined after watching him throughout the years. Right. He's so angry that if he did not have an outlet that is comedy, he would be one of those guys on the news just mowing down a McDonald's. He really would. He's got to express it somewhere. Am I right, Doug?
Yeah. Now that's the title of my next CD or DVD is Before Turning the Gun on Himself.
I think that's about right. He is filled with rage, but it's the kind of rage that's funny for the rest of us who don't have to live in his skin full time. Doug Stanhope is in town because he's playing at the Comedy Store Los Angeles tonight. And of course, tomorrow night already sold out and then sold out in San Diego for the weekend. But welcome, Doug. How are you, man?
I'm good. I'm just filling in for Quentin Rampage Jackson, who blew you off.
Yeah. What about that? Apparently, he didn't want to get up early. I guess is what the
you know. I don't want to go all racial, but just
I don't think that had anything to do with it.
You know what?
I think he has a fight on Saturday night. Maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah, Saturday. I have a show on Saturday.
Oh.
You don't see me.
You're here.
I'm up.
Right. You're still here, but yeah.
No
still working.
But no one's
going to
be drunk.
No one's going to be hitting you back. though. That's the thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, that guy's going down. Now, Doug, there are a few comedians who are not afraid to talk about politics. A lot of them like to stay out of the political arena because they don't want to alienate, you know, potentially half their fan base. But
I alienate everybody. Like, now I've whittled my fan base down to such a niche group, and then I still try to bifurcate them. Like, now I go out on stage and I open with gay pride, white power. And I just, see what side are you going to fall on?
I like
who,
it.
Or who are you with?
Is that you accept the risks of doing that when you get as political as you do, but that's the kind of humor that you enjoy. And obviously you've attracted a fan base that's right there with you too, right?
Yeah, I have a fan base of, I was in Canada once where I'm trying to find the gig and I have an address and I'm going down the street and there's on one side of the street, the train comes up in front of the businesses and there's a group of people that I think are waiting for the train and they're so scary looking that I cross the street to get away from them before realizing those are the people lined up for my show.
So your own fans scare you.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
They're a twisted bunch.
Are you hopeful for any kind of a change in politics, or are we
no,
at this point?
Come on, we're old people.
Diminishing returns at this point now, right?
Yeah, you're old too. we've seen changing. Every season. Oh, yeah, maybe it'll be different. No, it's never different. Yeah, you just ignore all those people.
But if it was different, you wouldn't have comedy, so...
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
In a perfect world, yeah. I would be obsolete.
Right, exactly.
And I'd rather do that than live amongst such idiocy.
What is it that makes you the maddest? You've got to have something that really pushes your button, that really, like, you almost think you can't take it.
There's
a lot of them?
There's so many. I have no idea.
All right.
I have no idea.
All right, maybe this will refresh your memory, because here's the piece in LA Weekly from last week where they asked you, and I guess you provided the questions and the answers for the interview, which really sounds like a great way to do an interview, by the way. Sounds like you get your message out that way.
Oh, yeah. That was the, where I let my fans, Facebook people ask the questions, actually.
Here's the question. If you had to kill one person, who would it be and why?
Did I go with Drew Pinsky? Please
you
go.
You did go with Drew Pinsky.
Yes.
And that's such a shock to me because, of course, we're very good friends with Dr. Drew. He was on this show earlier today.
And that guy, yes. If I could kill, like, Nancy Grace, you'd think, all right,
she's way up there.
No, but the disservice he does to is such an absolute fraud.
You couldn't be more wrong, Doug. You could not be more wrong. I'd be willing to bet we've spent more time around Dr. Drew than you have.
I think he believes that's what's worse is he believes he's doing a good thing by exploiting the weakest people he can find,
right.
Putting them on television under he's a medical doctor. And what he does, he takes people on his show, takes them at their weakest, puts them on this Big Brother surveillance operation, right. Exploits them, lets them shake off the sweaty detox for 2 days, and then sends them boating with Gary Busey. Because that's what they do in medicine! He's gonna goddamn certificate over his desk. He's not a fake doctor.
No, he's a real doctor.
He's a real doctor. Right. And he's not stripped of his credentials for doing this.
In Drew's defense, most of his patients
There's
on
no
Celebrity
defense,
Rehab survive. Most of them survive.
Yeah,
have you ever noticed that?
Killed two. Mike right? Starr and hopefully, and I say hopefully with regret, but hopefully because I'm actually in a death pool for the first time and I do have Jeff Conaway.
Oh, good
you're
good
not
on
getting
you.
Good odds on that, for God's sakes. That's
well,
not,
it's,
a,
you get,
that's
get,
a long shot.
You get an extra 25 points if it's an OD. So right now he's technically listed as an OD, even though there's other news. Anyway.
But Dr. Drew will tell you. Dr. Drew will tell you that a lot of these people who end up on Celebrity Rehab, and that seems to be your biggest beef with him, would not go into rehab if they didn't do it on television.
Dr. Drew would tell you that. There's a lot of things Dr. Drew would tell you about why Dr. Drew's not a piece of turd.
Oh, you're so wrong, Doug.
I could go on and on. Well, get him on the phone. Get him on. What's the cure for this deadly disease of addiction, which is a choice? It's not a disease at all. You are a medical professional. You've invented a disease, which is just a choice. I'm still
You don't think people are physically
right
addicted,
now.
Though?
Physical addiction is so minimal. Where they say cigarettes are as addictive as heroin. Well, how come I sleep 8 hours without getting that Jones that I get that's mental? that I get. Oh, I have to have a cigarette right before I'm going on Kevin and Bean. I have to go out front and have a cigarette. Where's that little cute lesbian girl, Chip? Can she watch the door for me?
Yeah. Oh, great. Now you've outed Chip. Yeah. Nice job, Doug.
Thanks. I'm wicked hot for lesbians. My girlfriend's a lesbian. And she's a,
No, she just doesn't want to have sex with you, Doug. Anyway, it's not that she's a lesbian.
What's the cure, Dr. Drew? Please call in and tell me what the cure is, because you help people with this deadly disease of addiction. What are you going to do with Charlie Sheen, Dr. Drew? You keep, well, you get him into a rehabilitation? Yeah, but what do you do in the rehabilitation? Well, you get him involved in a counseling, but you know, how do you counsel? Well, we put him in a program. Stop with the buzzwords! Tell me what the cure is. Oh, it's God. What? What? Look, Dr. Drew, that's how, do you know, that's what they do with all these people on intervention. I keep looking at the speaker to
talk
to the
higher
you,
power,
Bean.
Right? Right.
Yes,
no, I know.
All
I know.
All he does is put him in a 12-step program, right, which is a God-based program. You're a medical professional with a certificate over your desk, and you... Only you're a celebrity rehabilitation expert. How does that happen? That's like if I were a gynecologist, but I only specialized in young,
super hot,
hot
chicks,
shaved, stinkless vagina. That's
I like
yeah,
it.
That's what
you should
you're
go for.
A celebrity
that.
At some point in medical school. All right, but the cure is God.
I love Dr. Drew, and I believe in him. And your hate for him is funny to me, though. It's very funny.
I really do. I want you to be on Celebrity Rehab. That's what I want.
Even religious people do not want to hear about God during a medical diagnosis. Like, your most orthodox friend goes in for a deadly disease. Yeah, doctor, my lymph nodes are swollen out of my neck. I'm crapping blood. I'm vomiting. I can't hold food down. Ooh, you'd better pray. What? What? That's all you have? You're... A licensed credential medical professional.
I don't think he would tell you that if that were your issue.
But that's all they have. That's all they have.
Doug Stanhope is here. He's making friends left and right. You can see him on stage at the Comedy Store LA tonight. Still just a few left. ComedyStore.com. TheComedyStore.com is actually the website. We'll take a break more with Doug when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very happy to have comedian Doug Stanhope in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. See him tonight. A few tickets available for his appearance at the Comedy Store, thecomedystore.com. That's in Los Angeles tonight. You can also
very
get Doug's...
happy to have me. I don't know.
Yes, very happy to have you, actually.
I burned our bridge in the last segment.
Not at all. Not at all. You can also play the Doug Stanhope home game by buying his CD/DVD live from Oslo, Burning the Bridge to Nowhere. That's a funny title, by the way. Doug, where were you last night? Because we're trying to guess what kind of alcohol we can smell in the room.
yeah, we were. I think started drinking on the plane. No, it was vodka. Lots of vodka.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started drinking it on the plane at 11 o'clock.
Last night?
No, in the morning.
In the morning, then, yesterday morning. Okay.
I finished up about 11 last night.
Okay.
Wow.
So, yeah,
that's still coming out every pore.
Going to permeate. You're going to have to take this windscreen off the microphone. And
we might have to fumigate the whole studio.
Yeah.
Although, if they did that every time it smelled like alcohol, we would...
It was so weird to see Ralph Garman in here, because I think the last time I saw him was the last time I had any glint of happiness in my eyes in 2003. Ralph and I were going to be co-host the Man Show together before Joe Rogan let out of his contract. It was going to be me and Ralph Garman.
No kidding.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
No, we didn't know that.
Yeah.
And Ralph was working on this show then.
Joe Rogan was kind of pre-greenlit, but he was doing Fear Factor, and he didn't know if NBC had let him out of his contract. So it was going to be me and Ralph, and then he'd get out of the contract.
Did you guys do rehearsals and stuff? I mean, did you get that far?
Yeah, it was actually down to me, Ralph, and Dane Cook.
Oh,
and
my
then
God.
It, yeah, wow. Dane, yeah, then it was
That's
me and
two
Ralph.
Two really funny guys.
That group.
Bean doesn't like Dane Cook. This is the answer to that question.
I'm sure you do. That's kind of a universal.
Yeah, okay.
I like him as a person.
I'm sure he's very nice. So that's so interesting. Maybe Ralph will tell us we're crazy and we talked about it at the time, but I don't remember that being the situation on the Man Show. Wow.
Yeah, what's very funny is that happened, and then I'm doing the Man Show, and then as a goof, I did Girls Gone Wild just because it seemed like a funny thing to do.
Sure.
And it was free money for a week's worth of work. And they asked me, they go, hey, do you know anyone else? And I was so naive, like, just assumed, yeah, everyone has the same sense of humor as me. And if you know anyone else that would be good, I go, well, they wanted to do this Super Bowl thing. So I call up Ralph Garman. I go, hey, you want to do Girls Gone Wild? And he's like, no. I thought I was doing him like a favor. Like, hey, yeah, anyone would want to do this stupid show.
Ralph's the guy who's hosted shows on Playboy TV. He used to be a host for that for a long time.
Yeah, we watched him. What was the show he did? The fake reality show?
Oh, yeah. Joe Schmo.
Yeah,
it's funny that we're all talking about Ralph as if he's not here, as if we don't know him.
Well, he's not really here.
He's in the next room.
But that was the last time you were happy.
Yeah, that's right. Wow. Yeah, once I did the Man Show, I go, wow, this is awful. This whole facade of L.A., like everything you're supposed to want is garbage. And then I moved.
Let me ask you about Girls Gone Wild. And I apologize that I didn't see your series of episodes. But are you the guy whose job it was is to ply the girls with liquor and talk them into taking their tops off? Was that your job?
Well, my job was to try to make it funny, which is the antithesis of what you need to do to make girls go wild. My sense of humor is not really. It would get to a point where girls who are about to go wild they'd take me away from them because
you'd be insulting them.
Yeah, you make them sad.
I would make them put their clothes back on and go, that guy's not funny. That guy's an ass. I'm not doing this.
So they're like, get him out of here. She was just ready to.
Yeah.
You're openly mocking stupid
drunk whores.
Oh, Doug, come on.
Oh, yeah.
How are you going to hate? Come on.
They're doing the Lord's work.
Like everyone goes, that's like a dream job. And you go, ask any bouncer who has to deal with drunken, stupid, self-involved sorority girls at last call what a dream job it is.
I'd like to try it so that I can see for myself.
It's so funny because when you see the commercials, the late-night TV commercials for Girls Gone Wild, there's nothing hotter. You're so bummed that you're watching something that's censored. You're so bummed that it's blurry where boobs should be. But then when you watch the actual show, it is kind of sad and you do feel really bad.
It's
for the girls.
It's
not sad.
Who watches that?
Me.
Like, there's porn available.
Yes.
I could punch up porn right here. It's right there. There's a computer here.
But that doesn't eliminate Girls Gone Wild.
Yes, it should. It should. It's free porn.
No, I'm saying it's not. I'm not saying it's not better. I'm just saying these are girls that aren't doing porn, but they're doing that. So
what Kevin is saying,
we
all agree there's already chocolate cake and there's already ice cream. That doesn't mean you don't want a ring ding once in a while or a Twinkie or something.
Yes,
you
know, it does.
It does. Okay.
Yes, I didn't realize that. There's chocolate cake right there on the computer for free.
And they don't have, go with the ring ding.
And they don't have a history of fraudulent billing practices where you can never cancel your drunken subscription.
Well, there is that.
Yeah,
there is that.
By the way, that blurring that they do is somebody tackling Stanhope and getting him out of the way. Because he's making the girls want to put their clothes back on.
I never thought I would feel quite so sad about Girls Gone Wild as I do today.
I wonder if they just blur it because she didn't shave.
Oh, baby. Maybe that's what it is.
They have to shave their boobs?
That dude, that Joe Francis guy, is still in jail, right? Is he still behind bars?
I hope so.
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, no, that guy's the absolute worst person I've ever dealt with in any dark alley of entertainment. He's like,
you get the idea that, like, we've talked to him a couple times on the phone and we need to take a shower.
To the point where it was no longer, like, even funny to do that show as a goof, where you think you might be a thin bus toilet door away from being a material witness. And then him coming out laughing about it. Like, you remember the scene in Leaving Las Vegas where the frat guys, you know, and then she's bleeding in the shower? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's that guy.
Was that the show that killed your Hollywood dreams and that's when you moved to the desert?
No, that was still a ridiculous goof. The Man Show was,
that's the one that killed you.
Yeah.
That was the death.
So you're not trying, you don't want to be on TV anymore. You don't want to play the game. You like being your own boss.
Especially not with high definition. I don't have the head or teeth for it.
Doug is in his 40s and looks 80. I will tell you that. It's actually troubling up close.
Yeah, you ever look in the mirror in the morning and think, that can't be accurate?
That mirror has to be faulty in some way.
It must be metric or something. I don't. It's off by years and pounds and folds. And what have I done to myself?
Doug, we're out of time. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's a lot of fun.
Comedy Store tonight, main
room.
That's
the point. That's the point. The main room of the Comedy Store tonight. Please go see our friend Doug Stanhope tonight. And then, of course, sold out tomorrow night and sold out Sunny in San Diego. But come back anytime, man. Thanks a lot.
I love you.
Thank you, man. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Hey.
And it is 9:44.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We are fumigating after the show, right? After Stanhope's gone, right? We're going to take care of the take care of the room.
For everybody. Musk doesn't smell like that. He's already killed all the bugs in the room.
He was funny. I enjoyed the hell out of
Doug's
that.
Doug's a very funny man.
I had no idea that you almost were the host of the Man Show.
Yes, you did.
I didn't remember it. Anyway.
That's what Bean said. We talked extensively
it's
about
a
it.
Lot
it
of years. It's a lot of years ago. Though,
well, then
Ralph.
Don't tell me you didn't know.
I'm saying if I knew at any time, I forgot because it was so many years ago, and I don't continually refresh my memory of your every career move. It just hadn't come up in a long time. I was just surprised to hear him bring it up because I had forgotten about that. That would have been strange, right?
Yes. Having said that, it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Doug, I remember sitting with him at the Coronet Pub when it was still open, right after we had done our last run through. And he said, I'm scared to death I'm going to get this thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think even then he knew that maybe...
He wasn't cut out?
A weekly TV show wasn't what he was all about.
I'm scared to death I might get this.
Yeah, it was so funny. We were talking afterwards. I said, I remember you saying that even before you got it that you were afraid you were going to get it.
Wow.
And then after that fact, we talked a couple times since and... That did change his life. Not necessarily for the better. He was not.
But he did end up doing it for a couple of seasons, right?
Yeah, him and Joe did it for a couple seasons. I remember talking to Jimmy Kimmel about it, too. And I said, they're talking to me about maybe doing the Man Show. And I said, I wanted to talk to you before I said yes or no, even before I got into the audition process. And I said... Making sure it's cool, yeah. And he said, well, I'd rather they didn't. But if they are going to keep going, I'd rather have you on there than somebody else. So he kind of gave me his blessings, and that's why I got into it.
So he has a lot of pull, is what we're learning.
I forgot. I just completely forgot about Dane Cook auditioning alongside of me. We did a run-through. We were like...
You and Dane?
We were the Jimmy and Adam of several run-throughs of that show.
Talk about how things would have been different.
Can't imagine now. Wild stuff. It was good to see Doug again. Funny, funny guy. Gigi Goyette. Arnold Schwarzenegger's... latest mistress to talk about his situation has come forward and admitted that she had a decade-long affair with the former governor.
How many of these do you guys think there's going to be? You think there's going to be 10?
Gigi says she knows 12 or 13 other women who had sex with Arnold.
Wow. Okay.
So I can only imagine we're going to see at least that many.
This is Tiger Woods territory now we're getting into.
Or maybe they'll... discover the better part of valor and just keep their mouth shut and stay out of the limelight.
That's funny.
Look, not every one of these women, I think, will necessarily want to come public and say, yeah, I was sleeping with Arnold Schwarzenegger while he was married.
Yeah, and there are some women who were married then or are married now and would just as soon not have it out there and upset their lives, too.
Nah, who are we kidding? The first one had a kid and was married while she was banging him, so come on. Anyway, Gigi says they first met when she was a child actor on Little House on the Prairie. She was 16. He was 27 at the time. She said he was sort of the first person I ever had sex with. I was like, how can you sort of lose your virginity? I'm not really familiar with that process.
Maybe he's not very good at it.
Maybe. Then they ran into each other again in 89. She had a decade-long affair with him from 89 to 99, she claims. This was a large portion of that time. He was already married to Maria Shriver. Here is Gigi Goyette telling Extra about her relationship with Arnold.
Arnold is a very physical, sexual, voracious appetite male that likes a lot of physical attention. Mm-hmm. He used his, fame and notoriety to get women, but I think the fact of that his body and his je ne sais quoi, his magnetism that he had with women was just, he was so intense. It was hard to say no.
Let's not ask her any more questions.
Let's ask her a lot more questions.
She really doesn't have anything to say.
I want to hear her talk all day.
She talked for 3 minutes there and didn't get anything out. Nothing came across. I don't understand I understand less now about their relationship than I did when she started.
He has magnetism. Strange. I know that.
He's a man who likes... physical attention from women. That's the only thing I got from that, which I answer. Oh, he's one of those men.
One of those guys.
Who likes those women. Blech, blech, with their physical attention all over him. Do we need two Snow White movies?
Do we need one?
I don't think so.
They're talking about the release dates for two, perhaps three, competing Snow White films next year. or later this year, rather.
How are they competing? Doesn't Disney own that? Or
No. Snow White is a fairy tale that is in the public domain.
Oh.
Disney made a movie about it, famously the animated film version of it, but they don't own the title Snow White or those characters. So they're doing two, perhaps three, upcoming Snow White films. One starring Charlize Theron.
Okay, that's the one.
As the Wicked Witch.
Oh, she's the witch.
The witch, yeah.
Okay.
Kristen Stewart's going to be the
Snow man.
White. Yeah.
Matter, antimatter, right there.
And then there's Julia Roberts playing the evil queen in the other competing one.
Yeah.
And with a young unknown actress playing Snow White in that one. So.
Hmm.
But apparently they're going to be released within about a month of each other. And they're now jockeying for position because obviously the first one will probably get the lion's share of the audience. And then other people will say, I don't really need to see a second one.
The Little Red Riding Hood reboot didn't seem to work very well for them.
No, that was not a big hit. But they're trying every possible combination of fairy tales and sort of gothic romance they can now with the success of the Twilight films. So.
Hey, it's also kind of what you said earlier when you were talking about how they'd rather have a TV actor who's failed in 10 sitcoms to try another one rather than hire someone new who might be talented. It's better to have a remake even if nobody's ever seen the original. If they've heard the title, they feel like they have a leg up rather than writing a new story.
It's true.
And it helps to have a boyfriend or girlfriend that has some experience in the movie-making business when you're a newbie. Rosie Huntington-Whiteley, who stars in Transformers 3, has a very thoughtful boyfriend. She kept coming home from the set bruised, and her boyfriend, Jason Statham, had some advice for her.
What?
That's right, Rosie. Here's what you should do. This will keep you from getting bruised.
He gave her his stunt pads to wear. He's got thin gel pads that he wears when he does his stunts, keep him from getting beaten up. And so he gave them to her, and she said they made a big difference.
Wow.
I'd like to you to wear my pads. When did you get in my pads, Rosie?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes,
she's an attractive young lady.
She is.
Today's celebrity birthdays, co-creator of South Park, Matt Stone, is 40 years old today. Joseph Fiennes of Shakespeare in Love fame is 41. Helena Bonham Carter is 45 years old. Lenny Kravitz turns 47. Bobcat Goldthwait is 49. Pam Grier and Philip Michael Thomas both celebrate their 62nd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have Michael Fassbender. Burger? I can't read my own writing.
Fassbender?
Thank you.
Yes.
Can't read my own writing. Yeah, he's the young Magneto.
He is.
So we're going to talk to him. We have Dana White, the president of USC, talking about UFC 130. We have Scott Weiland talking about his autobiography.
Scott Weiland included.
And we have the movie beat also tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.